Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here, and we are kicking off the new year in style. Happy 2019, everybody. A happy new year. We are going to be talking with your Survivor champ, Nick Wilson, here today. Before we get to that, I've got the first lady of podcasting, Nicole Cicerino, here with me in the studio. Nicole, how are you?
I am fantastic.
Nicole, happy new year.
Yeah, happy new year.
Yes, okay. I'm really excited for this episode. Always love when I get a chance to talk with the Survivor winner. I've done it for many seasons running. It might be 10 in a row.
Oh, I see we're bragging now.
No, look, I appreciate that the winners come on with me. And so very excited to get into everything from the season with Nick Wilson. And we'll get to that in just a moment. I'm really proud of the Best of 2018 special that we posted over the holiday break. If people were out of work and not listening to podcasts, I really recommend that you go back and check that one out. It's 3 hours in runtime, and we have a ton of clips for the patrons of the podcast. We made a SoundCloud playlist. I think there's 67 clips that we pulled that we were in consideration for the Best of 2018 special. People should definitely check that one out. And then also, if you missed it over the holiday break, I also spoke with Christian Hubicki, 3.5 hours, talking about everything from his game. He was here in the studio for that's also up in our podcast feed when you subscribe. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes to subscribe to Rob Has a Podcast. But Nicole, before we get to Nick, I want to talk about one of your favorite things, the Calming Comfort Weighted Blanket. And Nicole has been using this Calming Comfort Weighted Blanket here for a good 6 weeks, and she swears by it.
If there was a house fire, I would Jack Pearson it and go in and get that blanket.
No, do not, Nicole, please. We're here to talk about happy thoughts here.
It
with
makes
the Calming
me happy.
Comfort Weighted Blanket. And I think a lot of people are sort of like, weighted blanket, and does that really work? And Nicole is here to say, yes, it does.
Yes, it does. I work the night shift and I have to sleep during the day, and my job is very stressful. And sometimes I come home a little anxious from saving lives, mm-hmm. and it's hard to get to sleep. But with my calming blanket, I do feel much better. I am well rested, and it's kind of become my superhero cape to save
superhero
lives.
Superhero cape. Wow. I mean, in the same way that you wrap up these babies in the hospital.
It's so essentially
that they
the
sleep.
Same thing.
It's the same idea.
I actually said that one night at the hospital. I had this one baby that wouldn't stop crying. I said, oh, this baby needs a calming blanket.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a second. That's what we do.
If you toss and turn, you're a light sleeper.
We swaddle you.
The weighted blanket comes over you and it's like, shh.
Swaddle.
Yes. Just relax and
swaddle,
have and enjoy a nice rest. Calming mm-hmm. Comfort is designed with high density comfort fill to provide exactly the right amount of weight to help relax your body. It mimics the soothing feeling of being hugged for less stress and a restful night's sleep. It's made with super soft velveteen material and designed to promote a sense of calmness and relaxation for a more restful sleep. I'm telling you, for these winter nights, it's also going to keep you nice and warm as well.
Mm-hmm.
Calming Comfort is 100% machine washable and dryer safe. Precision stitch squares are filled with high density BPA-free microbeads that are Ooh. Evenly distributed throughout the blanket. It's recommended you pick a blanket that is 7 to 12% of your body weight. 15, 20, and 25 blankets are available. And then also, they've got the kid size, 6-pound blanket for kids. Helps reduce stress, reduce anxiety, maximize relaxation. So go ahead and give it a shot, especially if getting better sleep is on your New Year's resolution list. You can go ahead and give the Calming Comfort Weighted Blanket a try with a 90-day anxiety-free, stress-free, Ooh. Best night's sleep of your life guarantee from Sharper Image. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to calmingcomfortblanket.com. That's calmingcomfortblanket.com. Use promo code ROB at checkout to get 15% off the displayed price. Again, That's calmingcomfortblanket.com. Promo code Rob. And because you can't put a price on a great night's sleep, go online now at calmingcomfortblanket.com. Use promo code Rob for your special discount today. All right, Nicole. Nicole, I know you got to run. Hope you enjoy the Nick Wilson interview when you get to hear it.
Yes, I will love it.
All right, everybody. I'm very excited to get a chance to talk to our reigning Survivor champ. Here he is. He started out at David and went on to become the king of Survivor, David versus Goliath. Here is Mr. Nick Wilson. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. Man, you have no idea how good it feels to be able to finally admit to being a winner. It's a hard.
Hold on, is that a shot, Nick? I feel like
no.
Rob, you only knew.
No, I'm sorry.
You have no idea, do you?
No, I did not mean it like that.
Well, it took me one shot.
I'm off my game. I feel like out on the island, I would have never said something that could be misinterpreted that way.
Yes. All right. Nick, how have you been since you won? Recording this right before New Year's, and so it was, what, about 10, 11 days ago that you went through everything on the finale. What have you been up to?
Yeah, it's been great. Like I said, I mean, I was, you know, I knew I won when we landed home, so I've like had this big secret to keep all this time. And so, yeah, it feels great to everybody else is in on it now, and I can call myself the winner, and everybody's happy and proud. So, yeah, it's just been nonstop. A lot of celebrating, a lot of good times, a lot of messages. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to get back to people on those. It's tough, but I do appreciate everyone. It's been good. And then it was so close to Christmas. I think that was part of the reason it was so hectic. Mm-hmm. Is, I mean, the finale is the 19th, and then, you know, it's like 5 days later is Christmas Eve. So,
yeah. It's wild. Did the family have a suspicion that this was going to go your way?
So I only told my girlfriend. I didn't tell nobody else.
Not even Big
dad,
Jim?
Big Jim, no. Big Jim cannot keep a secret to save his life. So I promise you, I did him a favor by not telling him. And luckily, only me and Griselle knew. I think my older sister put it together the night before. Mm-hmm. But I mean, literally the night before the finale. But yeah, only me and Griselle knew, and yeah, it was great. Big Jim, he was he's not too emotional, so he actually cried when they when they announced I won, and when Jeff was reading the votes. So it was really cool because I never get to see him emotional. And then also, like, he's kind of like half glass empty kind of guy. Mm-hmm. So like the whole time he's like, oh, no, he's going to get blindsided, and I'm like, Dad, you were there. Like, you know, I at least made it to eighth place. Like, that's pretty good, right? It's like, yeah, but there's no way. Like, I know a blindside's coming. It's like, so when he actually saw me win, when he saw me win, he couldn't believe it. So, but it was pretty amazing. And I knew I won, and I still, like, I felt like I was going to pass out when Jeff was reading mm-hmm. the votes. It really was crazy. I wanted water, and you know, it's a live show. Like,
yeah,
you can't get water. Like, you're stuck sitting there. So I was glad I stayed, you know, yeah, conscious the whole time.
Did you feel like the family was expecting like really good Christmas presents this year now?
Well, it was so close, the check hadn't cleared, so I had a out this time.
Oh, very convenient.
Yeah, I'm sure that very first birthday that's coming around, I'm sure the expectations will be high for that one.
Yeah, and then Nick, did you have any big plans for the money? Because you're a young guy, and you know, you could go kind of do anything you want to at this point. Did you have any thoughts?
Well, I mean, my biggest fear is I'm going to blow it. I've heard horror stories of past winners and stuff. So I'm trying to take it easy starting out. And I mean, first thing I'm going to do is pay my taxes. So until then,
yes,
I'm going to try not to do
smart.
Anything.
That's smart. Yeah. That's smart. But I mean, you're not a kid where, you know, I think you'll be okay. I mean, I think that you're, you know, somewhat established. You're going to remain a lawyer, right?
Yeah. Still going to be a lawyer. Still going to be working in my hometown.
Yeah. That's important.
I mean, I'm going to try to like go on a vacation. I'm going to maybe take a few of the cast, take my girlfriend, maybe buy. Well, I bought a truck when I got back because my car basically broke down. So maybe go ahead and pay that off and I don't know. I need a TV, so maybe buy a big TV.
Are you going to take people from the cast on vacation with your girlfriend?
Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
She doesn't want to go with anybody from the cast.
Yeah, that could be true.
Yeah, that's a I'll give you advice, Nick. That's a just, you know, buy them a beer when you see them. Just take your girlfriend on vacation.
I'll just do that. Yeah, I'll just take Giselle and everybody else can have a beer. And I can blame it on you. So when I don't take Mike on a vacation, you.
listen, that the great Mike White, in all fairness, he doesn't need you to take him on vacation.
That's true.
He's fine. He's going to go on vacation on his own. And so that's great. That's great. All right. Nick, let's talk about some Survivor and, of course, a lot of stuff to get through 39 days. I know you're a big fan coming in, but I don't know if I got your story of how you became a Survivor fan.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, of course, I remember when it first aired, season one and two, everybody watched it. I feel like I remember the last season I watched when I was probably like 11 or 12. Was Marquesas with Boston Rob.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, I was just at that age where, you know, I started playing sports and different stuff. So I feel like I came back like season, like Gabon, I think.
Yeah.
And so why? I was probably, I don't know. My stepmom watched it and my dad watched it the whole time. But like I said, I was like playing sports and stuff. So I don't know. I guess I just saw it on and like one Christmas break, I watched the season of Gabon. And so I went back and rewatched season one, two, three, and four, and then just kept on. And from then on, I mean, Token Cheens, I think, was the first season I watched live with JT. And of course, you know, JT was basically everybody's favorite. So it was just awesome. And I loved Coach too. Mm-hmm. I remember I had a teacher that hated Coach and I loved him and I'd talk trash every time he made it another week.
Yeah.
So I remember, yeah, that was my first season watching live again, you know, like as a teenager and old enough to really get behind all the strategy and everything. And then my favorite, you know, one of my favorites happened to win. It's now that I've watched a lot of seasons of Survivor Live, it is kind of rare or tough for, you know, like the person you pick at the beginning to actually go on and win. So yeah, I mean, I was hooked after that rewatch of Gabon, the all time great. I was hooked.
Was there something that clicked when you saw Gabon that time?
Yeah. I mean, I think, I remember when I was a kid and it was like a cool show, but I think watching it again as like a 16 or 17 year old. Yeah, the strategy and the social part of the game, it made more sense. I guess I was just old enough and mature enough mm-hmm. to get what it really was about. And, you know, it's not like about beating bugs and starvation and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I guess just the strategic and social part of the game.
And now, was it something that you watched with your family or was it something that just you were into?
Yeah. Well, my family watched it, so I would watch it with them and then, I mean, like the next year or two, I went to college, so I just kind of watched it with, you know, sometimes I might have a roommate that would watch it with me, or sometimes I might just watch it, record it, and watch it alone. Yeah, so, and then once I started dating Grizel, I got her into it, and so then we started watching it together.
And then when did you first think about applying for the show?
Well, like I said, at Token Cheens, I watched it live, and I had turned 18, like, right after that finale. And I think that was like the exact year they moved the age from 21 to 18. So I sent in a video that year. And then, you know, I went to college and stuff. So it was like a few years later. I think it was my senior year of college before I sent in a video that I think was like, or you know, I mean, the first one I was 18. Like I didn't know what I was doing and stuff. And so I think my senior year of college was the first time I like really got to send in my cast and tape and really start trying at it. And so I guess I did it the senior year of college and then my first year of law school. I can't remember if I got my first call back my second year of law school or my third year of law school. But I think, you know, I applied about six times, I'd say.
Yeah. And then were you in the mix for a while? Had you made it far before?
No. So they called me back and I don't know what season it must have been for. I think it must have been for HHH.
Mm-hmm.
But I really can't remember. And then it could have been for Millennials Gen X, but I just got a phone call. That was it. Like I wasn't really in the mix. And so I sent all my written application. And then, you know, through that I had my casting lady's email address. So if I applied again, I would do the application and then also email her my video. So, I remember when they contacted me for David vs. Goliath, they replied to an email that was like about a year old. So I was, you know, I was working as a public defender again, as a public defender. Like, you know, I felt like I had kind of grown up and got busy, and like I was starting on my legal career. And I thought about doing the application, and I was like, well, maybe I will. It's not my first priority anymore. Like, you know, I'm a practicing attorney. And so I actually didn't apply this last time, but they, where they had called me back and stuff, they had like a recent video from me. And so, yeah, I got a reply to an email that was about a year old, and it's like, okay, maybe we can work. We can see if this will work. So I was like, all right, well, here we go. You know, I'm not going to give up if they're, you know, if they contacted me. And, you know, I wasn't sure why they contacted me, but after I saw the theme, I thought it kind of made it finally made all sense. Clicked. Yeah.
Yeah. And did you get a sense that once they, you know, reached out to you, that they were sort of like hot and heavy for you and that it was definitely going
to
happen?
It really was the best time to actually be in casting because, like I said, I was working as a public defender. I was so busy that I really didn't even, like, it wasn't on the top of mind. Like, you know, they would email me or call me and say, if they need something or whatever. And like, I would try my best to get it to them as quick as possible. But I mean, like I had court every day. Like I had, and also two women in my office. One was my boss. Mm-hmm. They both went on maternity leave at the same time.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, I had court like literally every single day for, you know, like a month. I think it was like 7 weeks or something. Like every single day I had court. So I was so busy that, yeah, it was really kind of a good thing because I didn't have time to sit around and rack my brain like, oh, why are they wanting me this time? Maybe it's this kind of theme or this. So like, I kind of just did what they asked and went on with my life. Like it wasn't even happening almost. So it worked out good that way, I think.
So they want you, they tell you, okay, we're leaving at this point. And then what are some of the things you're doing to get set to go?
So I think I knew, well, I knew I had a good chance about November, and then, I mean, you kind of know when the filming is. They kind of have the same schedule right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I started doing like CrossFit. I started, you know, I rewatched old seasons. I mean, I've already seen them all. So, I mean, I guess it helps some, but maybe just watch them with more of a added detail of like what day certain things happen and those sort of things. I mean, I watched some other shows that could maybe help. I don't know. I mean, I think I kind of just watched old seasons and tried to do.
What are other shows that,
like Big Brother, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other things that are similar that I thought maybe other people wouldn't watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like and I know because I tried to talk about Big Brother all the time out there. I was the only person out there that watches Big Brother. And I really think it helped too. I mean, I think it helped big time. At the very least, it gave me the idea to come up with alliance names. So,
Is there anything else about Big Brother that helps you in ways that we might not think of in terms of, you know, it being a show where people get voted out?
Yeah, Dan played Big Brother and he didn't play Survivor. That was probably like my biggest role model in gameplay was Dan and Luke from Survivor Australia. So, just the fact that I was the only guy out there that had watched those two guys play. I mean, I think those were two really good influences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing I did in preparation. I watched the Australia season.
Yeah. Well, I do think that that's a good idea just in terms of not necessarily, you know, even for strategies, but just in terms of like the different types of twists and things that they could throw out there. I think that like all good things, not exactly that anything is going to be copied, but just in terms of like things that are possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And and there's so many twists in Big Brother and there's so many different situations. I think the way the alliances form and develop in Big Brother helped me more than anything because there were, like, I think in Big Brother, one thing that happens that you don't always see in Survivor is like there's this idea that there could be like big alliances, but the fact that there's a block, you know, sometimes your alliance member has to go home. Like, sometimes you don't have a choice. That, you know, if two of your alliance members are on the block, you know, somebody has to go. So I think, I don't know if this is making sense, but like the idea in Big Brother that sometimes you can have a big alliance, but also sometimes you just have to cut bait and let somebody go and your games can still go on. I think that helped me and kind of made me look at Survivor as more, in what Big Brother you call like a week by week kind of game. I think I looked at Survivor as more of just a tribal council by tribal council and not so much as like, one huge alliance, Pagong and everyone else, but like just a bunch of relationships. And it's so funny, like with BB20, we come back and watching Tyler play so great for such a long time. I felt like me and Tyler kind of had similar games where my Survivor game, I felt like was a lot of one-on-one connections and a lot of personal relationships as opposed to being in a big alliance of a lot of people.
Well, maybe the three of us could jump on a call eventually and talk this through.
I've not met him, but while we're on the topic, and we'll probably stop talking about Big Brother very soon, but I am meeting Winston tomorrow for New Year's Eve, so that's why I couldn't do the podcast tomorrow. So that's pretty cool.
How does that come up?
Well, he's just from Kentucky. I'm from Kentucky. Where he's from is not far from where I live, mm-hmm. so it just kind of happens. So I'll be seeing Winston tomorrow. I'll tell him you said hello.
All right. So you come into the show, and you know you're featured very prominently in the opening sequence. I think you're actually the first person that Jeff talks to, which I definitely think that I've noticed this in rewatching the season. That the first person they talk to on season 38. I'm gonna say, okay, well, this is probably gonna be the winner. They really do like set the important people up at the beginning of the season, and so I got to keep an eye on that for next season. But they talked to you first, and I did think that this was very interesting in terms of that, you know, you were the person that you knew the whole David and Goliath story, and I thought that that was, you know, pretty impressive to sort of like have that at your fingertips.
Yeah, that was cool. I knew it, Elizabeth knew it, I'm sure David probably knows it, but yeah, for us that kind of grew up in church or going to Sunday school, we knew the story. It was really cool because, I mean, you know how Survivor producers love a good metaphor. So we were always kind of able to, or at least I was always able to like go to the story and kind of relate it to the game and be able to explain it within the theme. And I mean, from the very beginning, you know, it's David versus Goliath, and David is like the little pipsqueak shepherd boy or whatever, you know. But I was like, no, David becomes a king. Like, this is cool. Like,
yeah,
we're well, set up as the underdogs.
I have that quote, which in hindsight really is amazing.
You know, David not only slew Goliath in the Bible, he ended up becoming a king too. So
that's right.
Woo! The story don't stop with David versus Goliath.
Nick, that's like a good winner quote.
I appreciate it. And you hear who says that's right. That's Elizabeth. She knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She knows.
I mean, it is crazy because you think like, oh, they put that in there after the fact. But I mean, that's you're standing there on the boat when you said that.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. And that's what I was trying to say is like, this is my winner quote. But then Jeff was like, oh, I can see we're going to have a lot of trash talk here. Like, I don't think it registered him yet. I'm like, no, I'm saying I'm gonna be a king, Jeff. Like,
oh, so you were already setting up your winner quote. You knew,
I'd say, let's go, baby.
Well, you might have been getting a little ahead of yourself though, because then you got back to the beach, and then a lot of that first episode is that, you know, you might be a little too amped up when you get back to the beach. Were you too hot going in?
Oh, I was totally too amped up.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, before the game, you just sit and sit and sit and you can't talk or nothing. So, like, I was so energetic and just ready to go. I mean, this is my dream coming true. Like, yeah, I was way too amped up, no doubt. I just had to run around 100 miles an hour, and I couldn't just chill, like, for the first day or two.
Yeah, what can somebody do that if there's somebody who's a big Survivor fan, they're going to play in season 39, and they get there and they want to sort of, like, they're just going to explode. Is there any way to control that?
I think Christian did a good job of it. Because Christian was, like, one of the first people I talked to day one. And we were, like, walking around picking up coconuts and stuff. And I think he realized that... I think he picked up on the fact that like Carl and Pat were like, you know, we got to get this shelter done. And Pat's he works on houses or whatever. And so like, yeah, Christian picked up on that. And he was like, all right, Nick, like we got to go help but you know, I don't want him to get mad and stuff. And so he just went and helped and like let Pat boss him around for a little while. And, you know, he got in their good graces. For me, I don't know. I was freaking out. Don't do what I did. Because I was geeking out. I was like, man, I got to make alliances with everybody. I want to try to find the idol. I mean, that's really what I was doing, is trying to find the idol. Mm-hmm. But they didn't show that. You know, they showed me just being lazy. But like on the Goliath tribe, they showed Mike looking for the idol. So, I mean, if you could find a way to look for the idol, like secretly or that it looks like you're helping, you can do that. But if not, just wait till the second day.
Did you have any sense that there was a lot of talk about you in terms of, you know, Carl and Pat going off and talking about, oh, this guy's not doing anything?
Well, not really until Elizabeth told me. She told me the second day. So mm-hmm. I think it was night two when she told me. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you do when you have that information in terms of, I'm sure you had a lot of fear that you were going to be the first person voted off than as any Survivor fan who goes out there. That's, you know, certainly worst case scenario.
Yeah. Well, you got to do something. You can't just sit around and do nothing. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing was like figuring out what am I going to do? So I bonded. I mean, I made close bonds with Davey, Elizabeth, Christian. You know, I got close to some people the first day. But what I really felt like was putting me on the outs, I mean, it was because, you know, I didn't help as much on the shelter as I should have. But also, I think the fact that we were the David tribe was everybody was, like, sitting around in the shelter, like, the first night and the second night. And they were talking about, like, okay, well, what makes you a David? What makes you a David? So, like, everybody kind of went around, like, telling their personal stories of like trauma and, you know, the bad things that happen in people's lives. I mean, it happens to all of us, you know, but for me, like, you know, of course it come up in casting and stuff about my mom. And, mm-hmm. and that was just something that I didn't want to talk about, especially not with strangers. And the day before we went out on the day before we went out and played the game, like we all meet with the psychiatrist and stuff. And I was like, I was talking to her and I was like bawling my eyes out. Like, you know, this is off limits for me. This is something that, like, I feel like it's not my place to talk about. I mean, like, I have brothers and sisters at home that went through the same experience. Like, it's not fair to them or to me or to my mom's legacy for me to go on national TV and, like, use this as a sob story or use this as a way to, like, bond with people or anything. And so, for me personally, I really think that's what put me on the outs because all the rest of my tribe, all other nine people, we're talking about how they were in abusive relationships or their mothers were in abusive relationships or, you know, Pat had two kids before he was out of high school. And like these people were sharing these things and then they come to me and, you know, I really didn't have anything to say. I just said, you know, I'm a big fan. You know, I want to come out here and have fun and raise hell. You know, I told them like about how I worked at the public defender's office as a social worker. But I think it felt like, you know, like I just wasn't clicking because I wasn't willing to open up. And I think when Elizabeth told me I was on the outs and that made me kind of look at my first 2 days introspectively. And like, I went down to the beach while everybody was sleeping and, you know, I just really had to come to terms with my past myself and realize that, you know, it's okay for me to share that with people and it's mm-hmm. okay for me to open up to others. And, you know, I'm really glad that I was on the outs this first couple of days, because I think if that didn't happen, I'm not sure I could have made that personal step of growth in just a personal emotional perspective. And so I think once I realized that, like, that is why I couldn't connect, because I was probably coming off as phony because I wasn't willing to connect and I wasn't willing to open up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the scene where they showed where I finally did open up, where it was like late at night. And, you know, basically I just felt like, one, I felt like it was good for me to open up. And two, I felt like I was kind of cheating those people, like those other nine people who felt so comfortable with me and the rest of the tribe that they were willing to tell their stories about depression or their childhood or giving birth or whatever it was. You know, I almost felt guilty that they were giving me that too. And I wasn't willing to go there for them. And so really that was the turning point for me personally. And then also for me in the game is that when I felt comfortable with myself, that I could go there and that I could open up with those people. That's when everybody really saw me for who I am instead of, as the guy that's like wearing a blazer for some reason that says he's a social worker, you know,
right.
that was in a fraternity and like says he wants to raise hell and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think from then on, you know, I really connected with people very closely, especially Gabby and Elizabeth and B. And that's why, you know, when we talk about if I was the first one to go home, I'm not sure. And I very well could have been.
Mm-hmm.
And if the tribal council was on day one or day two, yes, I would have been. But, you know, when you share things like that with people, I mean, it really does mean something. And I really did build a bond with a lot of people that were supposedly going to write my name down that day. So I don't know.
The way that the show presented that I thought was a little unusual, where I felt like it was really unclear what your motive was in terms of telling that story. It seemed like the music that was playing didn't seem exactly to match up with what was going on. Did you feel like that the show presented that in an unusual way?
I mean, I was very conflicted about that decision. So maybe they wanted to present it in a conflicting way. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's something I didn't want to do for the longest time. But then eventually I felt like I had to and I wanted to. And so, yeah, the way they showed it is almost like it was Russell lying about his dog dying or whatever he lied about.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that you were lying about anything, but it felt like that the show was presenting it like, okay, well, this is, my strategic move that I'm going to open up in this way.
Yeah, I didn't get it. Maybe they wanted to show like I felt like I had to, or else I was the first one out, or I don't know. But yeah, I didn't appreciate that part of it really.
Yeah,
I have very few complaints about editing. That scene is one. The other thing is me and Davey were best friends from like day one, and I felt like they didn't show that for a long time.
Yeah,
and I think that's really the only two complaints I have. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. That scene, I was wondering about that too.
Yeah. Just to go back to the story with your mom, that just in terms of the timeline, did that happen recently with your mom or were you younger?
That happened in 2015. So actually like about 3 years and a week or two before we started the game. So it was also fresh on my mind because it was like the third anniversary or where it happened 3 years before. And yeah, it was 2015.
Did your mom follow the show at all?
No, she never watched it. She would have watched it this time, though, for sure.
Yeah,
she would be really proud, for sure.
So you end up talking with Elizabeth. We see that you guys create the Thoroughbreds in the first episode. By the time we get to the second episode, that's where Mason Dixon comes together. How were you and Christian able to sort of let each other know that you guys both had this knowledge base of the show?
We just say we were like, you're a fan, right? Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a super fan. Like, we just admitted it. I admitted it. I mean, I didn't tell people I was a patron of Rob Has a Podcast and I know all these people that played years and years ago. Mm-hmm. But I mean, basically everybody on our season, had watched most of the season. So we just said, yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a fan. Actually, most people thought Gabby and Christian were the biggest fans over me. And they never knew I was a patron. But we just submitted it. And I tried to maybe hold back a little bit, but I knew I couldn't lie about it. I couldn't keep a lie like that for that long.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if they asked me like who my favorite was, I'd say like Philip and Nayanka and like crazy people instead of like the strategist and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you and Christian, you guys start up the Mason Dixon. And then also at the same time, it seems like that you are welcomed back in where Carl was talking with Pat about getting rid of you. It also seems like that the other side, the side that eventually is going to vote with Jess against Lyrsa, that it seems like that they have you as a number as well.
Yeah. We were all pretty much together, I would think. But I knew like they were the ones that were throwing my name out. You know, like I knew who threw my name out and I knew who was on my side. Which I had the Thoroughbreds with Elizabeth. That helped me out a lot that first week, you know. And then the Mason Dixon with Christian, where we developed a good relationship. And I think, you know, and like you said, we had talked to each other about being fans and like we compared ourselves to JT and Steven and we just had a lot of fun hanging out and doing different stuff. So basically that first vote was, I think, when we really established our strategic relationship completely solid.
It seems like in the episode that you get brought in on the vote pretty late in the game. Was that how it ultimately went down?
I think the episode kind of showed it more as okay, this person tells this, like, okay, Elizabeth and Lyrsa tell either Gabby or Christian or something. And then,
yeah, they tell Gabby and then they bring in Christian, and then we see Gabby and Christian talk about it. And then, you know, Gabby's asking Christian to work with her, and then Christian brings you in as the fifth vote, and you're the person who's like the set up as the swing vote in the 9-person tribal.
I would say what really happened was I remember me and Elizabeth wanted a final four with me and Lyrsa and someone else. So I said that we should make it Christian. So me and Elizabeth, Lyrsa, and Christian developed like a final four. I remember down in the water on the beach. And so when it come time for them to talk about voting out Jessica, I feel like it was more of an open conversation as opposed to somebody saying like, okay, I got Christian. Now, Christian, you go tell Nick, or however they portrayed it. I felt like it was more of a open conversation. But at the end of the day, I talked to Christian, and I felt like, okay, this is our decision to make. Mm-hmm. So I felt like me and Christian were the swing votes, absolutely. And really, I felt like I was the swing vote. And so, yeah, I felt like it was my decision to vote her out. But I think it was more of like an open conversation to get there. And Elizabeth and Lyrsa included me in from the beginning, I would say.
So after Jess goes home, that the episode following, you are really trying to do a lot to cover your tracks and try to make it look like that Gabby was the mastermind behind this vote. And I feel like that it was you're really, really throwing Gabby under the bus here.
Yeah, I was. And sorry, Gabby. But I mean, so what I felt like was, it basically come down to me. I knew that I had a good chance of being the first one voted out. I knew that I was close with Carl and really close with Davey. But I felt like those two guys were also very close with Jess. So I almost felt like if Jessica was gone, that Carl would definitely be a lot closer to me. And then also Davey, which I knew I was super tight with Davey either way. So that's why I decided to vote out Jessica. But then it was like I had to deal with the consequences the next morning. But I had to, really, the best case scenario would be like if I could reap the rewards and not have the consequences either. So it was funny. Christian kind of had the same idea that we would just blame it on Gabby, because Gabby kind of, she just kind of presented as a little, she said in tribal council she was neurotic in the first tribal council. And so the very first, at least for the first vote, she kind of came off as a little bit paranoid. And I knew that worried Carl, so it was kind of just an easy scapegoat, I guess.
Now, do you feel like that there was some long-term ramification that we know that eventually Gabby and Carl are going to, you know, have bad blood later on in the game at the merge? Do you feel like that the seeds of that were sort of laid down here?
Absolutely. I'll tell you one thing that stuck with me was when she caught herself neurotic at Tribal Council.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they ask you in casting, what's the type of player you don't want to play with? Who's the player that you wouldn't want to see? Who's the past player you would never want to play with and stuff? And for me, it was like Hannah, David, like people that maybe seem so paranoid that they might vote a certain way or make a certain decision that you would think otherwise shouldn't be made. Like if it's like basically just somebody that's unpredictable. So now I don't think Gabby's nothing like Hannah. And, I wish I didn't. I think maybe I discredited Gabby a little too much in the game. I feel like now maybe she's somebody I should have felt differently and more close to. But at the time when she called herself neurotic, it was just like something that I just couldn't get out of my head. Mm-hmm. And then Carl was like the same way. And, I think for Carl, it wasn't. It could have been the paranoia too, but I think for Carl, he might have felt that she was emotional or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think definitely those seeds kind of, those were the seeds that had a longer effect on the game than I intended them to, I would say.
You know, we never really saw too many interactions between you and Gabby on the show. Ultimately, though, she does vote for you to win the game. Were you guys close during the time that you played?
I'd say we were very close personally and like had a great relationship. But she was someone that I was always kind of worried about as far as being like a threat or being somebody that I could see willing to turn on me or willing to vote me out. There was different times where I thought that maybe she had a bad read on the situation. Like I felt like at times she trusted in Kara and Allison too much and that, you know, I felt like we shouldn't trust them at all when really maybe the truth was somewhere in the middle. We should trust them a little bit. In the early days, I mean, I loved Gabby and I didn't have any worries about her at all on the David tribe, but I felt like in the long run, she would be the kind of player that could either make a decision that I didn't see coming or, she would be a good enough player to turn on me or to see through my bullcrap. I mean, she was telling people on the David tribe that we're like JT and Steven. And that was something that I told Christian in private, like, we're like JT and Steven. But Gabby would like tell people out loud and like, no, don't compare me to a winner out loud. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's going to put a target on my back.
Now, she had gotten that information that she had overheard that, or she was just like, oh, look at these two. They're just like JT and Steven.
Yeah, she just like made that observation and then announced it to everybody. I'm like, Gabby, stop. And then the other thing was when B quit, she was telling everybody something nice about them, like how she enjoyed meeting us and stuff. And for me, she was like, Nick, you're the person I see winning this game. Like, you're so sweet and this and that. I'm like, B, shut up. Like, I'm trying hard not to have a target on me. So, yeah, Gabby was smart. When she called me JT, that was another thing. First, she called herself neurotic. Then she called me JT. So I was like, oh, man, like, this girl's sharp. I got to keep an eye on her. Looking back, I think I wish I would have known how closely we could have worked together.
You are now going to swap to Jibini at day 10. And this was really fun to go back and rewatch. There's a lot of action going on here at Jibini for these couple episodes.
It's fun to rewatch. It was hell being there.
Yeah, because look, you know, you got you and Mike, and you guys are going to form the Rock Stars, and that's ultimately going to carry you guys to the end of the game. Of course, Angelina is here. Natalie is here. You have everything going on with the Jackets and the Eggs with Lyrsa. So there's a lot of stuff going on here at Jibini for these three episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was crazy. There's a lot of big personalities for a five-person tribe.
Okay. It seemed like that you were not amused with Natalie during your time on Jibini.
Not at the time. No, not at all.
Not at the time. Not at the time. So when Jeff spoke to her at the finale about her edit, you felt like, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you felt like that the edit was faithful to what you witnessed?
Okay, so the question Jeff asked, I thought was confusing because I thought he was asking who else feels like their edit was off. Mm-hmm. Like, meaning Jeff was asking Nick about Nick's edit.
Yes.
But then Natalie thought he was saying who else thought Natalie got a bad edit. So I don't, as far as the question Jeff asked, I don't know. But I mean, As far as being with Natalie out there, like, I thought it was accurate. When I saw her again at the finale and met her again, like, she was so great, such a lovely person. Like, my girlfriend and my sisters loved meeting her. Like, she's a strong woman. Like, she's tough. Like, she's a strong person overall. But out there on the island, I mean, it kind of felt like she was giving us orders and she felt bossy. And even at the reunion, she said, okay, bossy, I'll own that one. But it just felt like she was the one that taking charge, that I felt like we had to do whatever she said and whenever she said it. And it usually wasn't ever good enough, like even if we tried. So, yeah, so I just tried to be patient and just try to do what she said. And, yeah, I don't know. I heard Mike got asked after this game, is there anything you learned from this game? He said patience. he was probably talking about our time on Jibini because, like, yeah, I learned a lot of patience being there.
Are switched over there. It's just you and Lyrsa. So you guys are down in the numbers, but you end up meeting up with Mike and you guys end up forming the Rock Stars, which is going to be a real key alliance in your game. What was it about Mike that you felt like that he was going to be somebody you could work with?
Well, I mean, for Mike, Like, you know, I did recognize him from School of Rock, and I really did love School of Rock when I was in middle school. I watched it like a lot. So, I mean, that was just something that helped us connect. I was still close to Lyrsa from the David Tribe. But then, I mean, outside of that, it really just didn't feel like I had any other options. Not to say I aligned with Mike just because I had no other options, because I did love Mike, and I like being with him a lot. But, like, Natalie was very transparently Goliath strong no matter what. And Angelina, I don't really know how Angelina was feeling at the time. I mean, I think she was Goliath strong too. So it was like, I felt like the only person, first off, the person I bonded with immediately was Mike. And then also, I felt like he was the person that I could rely on to make a move if there was going to be one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm. I mean, the very first day, we were just, all we were doing was making a fire, and it was like impossible to do with Natalie there. And the wood was wet and stuff. I mean, it had rained a lot. That was the hardest part about having a fire during those days, because it had rained nonstop those first 2 weeks. So we didn't have any dry wood. So I mean, just after the first fire was made, Natalie walked off, and I was like, is it really like always like this? And Angelina was like, it's worse. So I felt like I was able to bond with them immediately, just based off of kind of having a common enemy in Natalie. And then Mike, I felt like really didn't appreciate Natalie being there and her attitude, and Mike. And here's the way Mike felt. He didn't have to come out to Survivor. At least I think this is the way he felt. I don't want to put words in his mouth. But I mean, like, he's doing fine, you know? Like, he lives in LA. Like, he's got money. Like, he came out here for the experience. He's not going to let his experience be ruined by somebody that he don't enjoy playing with. So he basically told me, like, he does not want to play with Natalie. And, like, if he can trust me that I wouldn't be the first one to go. So I had that immediate connection with him. And then also, it was just kind of the way the tribe politics went that could have felt like, I think I said in the episode, I found a crack and his name is Natalie. I mean, that really is the way it was.
In my exit interview with Natalie, she had said that Mike was not happy with her because Jeremy was his friend, and then Jeremy got voted out. Did you sense that was a factor also, that they had just had that tribal council previous to you guys coming over there?
Yes, definitely. Mike told me about how Jeremy was his closest ally, and he had to write down his name. He basically told me about how the tribal council went down, how it was Jeremy and Natalie just butting heads nonstop, that, you know, and also that Angelina was the one that switched the vote from Natalie to Jeremy. So really, he wasn't happy with Natalie or Angelina at the beginning, because they had both basically got Jeremy out. So that was another thing that made it easy for me to connect with Mike. And that was part of it for sure.
Okay. So in that next episode, you guys are going to end up being immune for the vote where Natalia goes home. But then it's going to be some ups and downs for you in the challenges. In the reward challenge, you are able to, you get your slingshot. You're able to win eggs for the tribe. We knocked down that second target. Job well done. But the eggs turned out to be contentious, Nick.
Yeah, they did. That was so funny. And I remember, like, they was asking me during the interview, like, so what happened with the eggs? Like, what's going on with the eggs? I was like, what are you talking about? I don't care about the eggs. And, like, I didn't realize how big of a fight the eggs had caused, because they were going on, like, should we cook them today? Should we cook them tomorrow? And, like, this and that. But apparently they were all really ticked off about the eggs. And, you know, I tried to tell myself a story, and then finally I was like, what are you talking about the eggs for? I don't care. Like, we want some eggs. I ate two eggs. Like, what else is there? And basically they just had to be like, okay, well, you don't have to talk about it if you don't really know. And so, but that really was like a huge fight between Lyrsa and Natalie and Angelina. And they were all real mad and concerned with when and how we cook these eggs. I was like, who cares? Yeah. It's two eggs. Like, if we want a bunch of steaks or something, that's one thing. But it's like, I'm getting two eggs out of this. I don't care. Like, I'll eat them raw if I have to.
Then in the immunity challenge, that you end up being the person who's trying to use the pulleys to pull the ball up the snake. And it's like a photo finish, but ultimately you come up just short in terms of that. It seems like that both Alec and Christian end up coming from behind to get past you.
Yeah, Alec smoked that thing. He did it in like 30 seconds, it seemed like. But yeah, that was another point of contention with Natalie, because every time at the final, you know, the final part of the challenge is like where everything evens out. It's basically the hard part of the challenge.
Yeah.
Well, she wanted to do the final thing on every one of them. And like when we did the ring toss, when we did different things, she'd always say, all right, I'll do that part. Well, for the snake thing, she said, I want to do that part. And Mike basically said no. And he was like, we'll let Angelina do it. And so Natalie was like, no, I want to do it. And so Mike's like, what do you think? And I was like, I don't really care either way. And he was like, you don't care? He's like, are you kidding me? He's like, we could lose this thing. And so basically, and then Natalie's like, well, I'm not going to sit here and be bulldozed. Y'all can do it and stuff. Basically said that me and Mike were bulldozing her over not letting her do the challenge and that we never let her participate. And so, I mean, she was mad about that too. So Angelina started the thing and tried it out. And then, you know, I took over and basically did the whole thing the whole time. So in my mind, like, I was hoping that the Orange Tribe would lose, because I felt like if it was David versus Goliath still, that they had the numbers over them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt good in our tribe. So once I saw Alec, I mean, he got that thing so fast. It was unbelievable. Once I saw him do that, I was still trying to win. I mean, I wouldn't say I threw the challenge, but I was like going really slow. And I mean, I made it to the top and then like dropped it. And so then I tried to do it again. And like, yeah, we lost that one, but I was more worried about Christian and Gabby if they lost than I was really worried about me and Lyrsa if we lost.
Interesting.
So I don't want to say I threw it, but I mean, I wasn't like disappointed that we lost.
Now, you guys go back to camp, and this is the sort of the origin story of Jacketgate.
Yeah.
The jackets are going to be talked about for the first time here. And so we end up seeing where Angelina says to Natalie, I really want Lyrsa's jacket. Now, was this just a lowball offer for Natalie's jacket of, hey, I want you to try and get me Lyrsa's jacket?
I think Angelina wanted to end up with a jacket no matter what. I think she was pretty sure that it was Natalie's jacket she was actually gunning for. We had made the plan already to vote out Natalie, I'm pretty sure. And so I think, yeah, this was just – I think Angelina's end goal would probably be if she could convince the whole tribe – all five people leave your jackets, and then everybody would be happy. And then whichever four come back,
she was all the jackets.
Yeah, I think that's what she wanted. And so then me and Mike and Lyrsa would come back and get our jackets back, and then Angelina could have Natalie's. I think that's probably what her end goal was. But I didn't hear the conversation between them where Angelina told Natalie that she wanted Lyrsa's jacket. So all I did was I walked up to the shelter because they were rebuilding the shelter because. I mean, Natalie rebuilt the shelter like every day. We rebuilt that shelter all the time. It was nuts how, you know, we was always rebuilding the shelter. But so I went up there and Natalie told me, you know, she told me like, Angelina wants Lyrsa's jacket. You better get it while, you know, before she gets back from her walk and hide it from her. And, you know, I was like, no, like I'm not stealing somebody's jacket. Like, no. But the first time she said it, I like kind of laughed because I thought it was a joke, obviously. But then she told me again a few minutes later, and she's like, Lyrsa's going to come back from that walk. You better get it. And so I was like, no, I'm not doing that. And then later she asked me about my jacket, and that's what they showed when I was like accusing her of like bullying us and trying to steal our jackets and all that stuff. I mean, it was just, I don't know, it was too good to pass up.
Yeah,
I tried to play it cool and be patient all the time out there and not have arguments and stuff. But that one I was like, really? Like, really, we're talking about somebody stealing jackets and stuff? Like, Like, I just couldn't let it go.
But were you really mad, or was this you were trying to sort of like put the nail in Natalie's coffin here in terms of her being the first to vote out?
Me stealing Lyrsa's jacket, like, no, that was not an option. So, like, I was just like, no. Like, I put that to bed quickly. Like, I'm not stealing somebody's stuff. I don't care if they're on their way out or if they're staying around for the rest of the time or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to do that. So that was
really what about awkward. Allison's vote?
I'll steal her vote. That's it. Yeah, I'll take that one. But no, nobody's close. But when she asked me for my jacket, I was like, I mean, I'm a big boy. I don't know. I can take care of myself. I didn't really care. It was almost like this is like the perfect opportunity to, yeah, basically put the nail in the coffin or to make her look disfavorable in the eyes of everybody here that's casting a vote. They have to understand that, like, keeping her is not an option. Like, she is trying to take people's clothes off their backs, literally. Like, she has to go. So, yeah, I wasn't – when I said, like, are you trying to bully me? I really didn't feel like she was bullying me. I just wanted to really hammer home the fact that, like, we got to get rid of her. Like, she is making life out here harder than it is. It's like we survived two cyclones. We don't have to deal with Natalie too. Like, we can just make a decision tonight. So that was more of that. It was more of like a conscience effort instead of actually feeling extremely offended, I guess.
Nick, what was it like with a front row seat for Jacket Gate?
Man, it was awesome because travel was almost over. And I was like, no, I cannot let this travel in without bringing up the jackets. We talked about Mike and Natalie arguing at the challenge. And one thing they cut out, which I wish they would not have cut out, was Mike said, you know, Natalie can be kind of prickly at times. And if you saw her face, when she turned around and looked at Mike, when he said she could be prickly, I mean, you would have thought that he had called her the worst name in the book or something. Like, she was absolutely offended. So we talked about the challenge for a long time. We talked about the eggs for a long time. And then we were basically about to vote. And I was like, no, hold up. Like, we got to talk about this jacket thing. And so we went and relived all the jacket shenanigans that happened earlier on. And, yeah, it was pretty crazy because, I didn't realize it would be as big as it is mm-hmm. when I was sitting there. But still, it was like, it was hilarious. Like, they were really fighting over the jackets and arguing about the jackets. And then, I mean, on her way out, that was like,
yeah,
that was just too funny.
And yeah. Were you aware that Angelina's plan all along was that she was going to cast a vote for Lyrsa because she wanted to get Natalie's jacket? So you knew this was coming.
Yeah. So she ran that by us and she was like, I want to run it by you. Make sure you're okay with this. I want to vote for Lyrsa so I can try to get Natalie's jacket. I was like, I don't care. I think it's a great idea. But I mean, imagine how Lyrsa probably feels.
mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was her plan to try to get Natalie's jacket and to fake like she didn't do the vote and everything. So she warned us about that beforehand.
But, Nick, did you think it was going to work? Or you were just like, well, this is not a great idea?
No, I was like, that is the dumbest thing ever because, I mean, even if it works, like, Natalie's not coming back to camp. Like, Lyrsa is. Like, you're going to make her mad. And so I told Angelina, I was like, you know, I wouldn't do that, but if you do it, like, you really think it's not going to screw the vote up, like, I don't care. You know, it's your mm-hmm. vote. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought it was a bad idea.
All right. So you come out of that historic tribal council, and then you guys are back at camp. You know, there's some laughs about the jacket gate. Obviously, Lyrsa has some hurt feelings. Eventually, you guys are going to go to another tribal council here. This is the challenge with the giant saucer. Seems like that this was a tough beat for you guys. What was the major problem here? Just that you guys were wiped?
No, it was the saucer. I mean, that was impossible. Like, people still ask me, what was the hardest challenge? And they probably think I'll say, like, the 63-piece puzzle or something. I'm like, no, it's the saucer. Like, that was ridiculous. And then we was up against, like, John and Dan and the Green Tribe. They got it in two trips. Like, mm-hmm. they went down and back, and they got it. And we took, like, four trips. We couldn't keep enough water in that thing. I mean, it probably weighed like, I don't know how much it weighed, but if I guessed, I would say it was probably like 150 pounds, but it felt like a cinder block. Like, you know, like concrete blocks. Yeah. Like if you ever carry one of them things, they are rough.
All the time.
You know, and they like cut your hands up all and stuff. Time. Yeah. I mean, yeah. We're construction workers here talking. So, but yeah, it felt like concrete.
Yeah. Well, I used to carry those around in my college dorm. That those were a hot commodity, those cinder blocks. You could put your bed on them and then you could put stuff underneath. So you could get like a couple of those for a couple dollars.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, they will scratch you up bad, you know, big time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what it felt like. So that was the hardest thing possible. I mean, I don't know. That was probably, I mean, I was embarrassed we didn't even get to the puzzle, but yeah, we had no chance.
Yeah. And but Jeff said, but you guys, you didn't give up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we dropped the thing and then I was like, forget it. There's no use. But the other team only had like two pieces left. Like, honestly, we should have gave up way before when we actually gave up.
Okay. Now, in the episode, it did seem like you guys are on the fence and it seemed like it was really up in the air. But what was this close at all between either Lyrsa or Angelina was going to go home?
Yeah, so this was an episode I was really looking forward to seeing because I didn't really know. I mean, to get Natalie out, Mike would say, well, what do we do next? And Angelina would, well, to Mike, I would say, well, whatever we want. Who cares? Like, if Natalie goes, then me and you get to decide if we go back. So Mike liked that. And then Angelina would ask me, and I'd say, I don't care. I'll vote out Lyrsa. I don't care. Like, I will, as long as Natalie goes home. So when it came time to where we all four actually had to go to tribal council, I wanted to keep Lyrsa because, I mean, I felt like I had a close bond with her from the David tribe and our time on Jabini. I mean, you know, we went through a lot together on Jabini. And so I guess ultimately the decision was up to Mike because I wanted to keep Lyrsa, but I didn't want to send those two to fire. And so the producers told us that if it was a tie, they would have done fire because it was four people left. And so you know, if I send them to fire and Angelina wins, like, that'd been the dumbest move ever, especially because, I mean, you see how things end up turning out where Angelina and Mike are, you know, end up being like my most important alliance, I guess, because we go the final three together. But, yeah, at the time, you know, I wanted to keep Lyrsa, and it was basically Mike's decision after everything had happened where he blindsided Davey and stuff like that. I looked back on that moment and thought, you know, Mike has probably been playing me since day one. Even with the Lyrsa vote, he probably didn't have any intention of keeping Lyrsa, and he was just messing around with me that time too. And like, he always gets his way. Like, every single vote, it feels like whoever Mike wants to go home goes home. And so I was really looking forward to watch that back. From watching his confessionals and from talking to him in person, he told me that it was a really difficult decision for him. And after watching the show, I think that's the case, that he probably did struggle with making that decision. But I think ultimately he felt like Angelina would provide more to us as an alliance overall than Lyrsa would. But no doubt in my mind, every single one of us wished we all four could have went to the merge. Like, I wish Lyrsa would have made the merge so bad. And I think Mike felt that way too. So I would say I did a pretty good job of trying to convince him to keep Lyrsa. But ultimately, the decision was up to him, and he made the final call. And
yeah,
I just did not feel like it would have been good for my game at all to send them to fire. But especially because I think Angelina would have won fire. Like, Lyrsa never made fire, and me and Angelina made fire all the time. So I really feel like Angelina would have won. And then I would have been there with two people I just voted against and Lyrsa going home. So
yeah, I mean, this really turned out to be a hugely important vote in the game. And I think that in hindsight, it really comes across as even more important than it did in the real time of what was going on in the game. Because ultimately, you know, you are going to have this three that's going to survive this tribal council. It's ultimately going to be the final three in the game. It's also, at this point, I think it's seven Davids and seven Goliaths. So this is really going to set up going into the merge that we have a majority of the Goliaths to the Davids coming into this next round of play at the merge. So really big stakes here.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's funny? Our tribe is named Jabini. And like all the time in my confessionals, I called it Jabroni.
Yes.
Because we were just, yeah. You know, we were just awful. Like I was glad that I felt like we got lucky that the challenges were pretty evenly matched until that saucer where the strength was obviously favored. And yeah, like we were the Jabronis out there just trying to compete, hoping to get second place on any given day. And then we make the final three, and then actually Jabini means champion instead of Jabroni. So, yeah, that was pretty crazy.
You guys get to the merge now. Did you have a plan at the merge in terms of what you wanted to see happen?
I did have an idea that I thought the David versus Goliath tribal lines would not stay. I thought that we could work together. I had noticed... You know, I knew Carl was like basically throwing Elizabeth under the bus. I had seen that she was like the first target. And so I just was kind of, you know, the first vote wasn't me. I knew I had relationships with the Goliaths. I was really, really close with Mike. I had a good relationship with Angelina from Jabini. Christian and Gabby had got close to, Allison. I was starting to talk to John a lot because I like wrestling. He's a wrestler. And so I was getting close to John.
You were from the Jabroni tribe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He knows who The Rock is. We discussed a lot of wrestling stuff. My favorite wrestler is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Mm-hmm. So, and John's been on his podcast. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot to talk about. So I was bonding with as many Goliaths as possible. You know, going into the game, I kind of pictured who I really wanted to align with. Like maybe somebody like John, somebody bigger than me or stronger than me. And then I remember watching Malcolm along with Denise, maybe like an older woman or like, you know, like I just had in my mind like who I wanted to align with. Well, then, you know, I've heard you talk about, you know, I'm a patron of Rob's podcast. So I've heard you talk about like, you know, people should just work with anyone or everyone, like just work with whoever. So that really stuck with me going into the merge where I was like, hey, I am open for business. I will work with anybody. Like, and so I was talking to all the Goliaths, and I was still tied with all the Davids. And so that's more of the approach I took going into the merge is like, you know, I really felt bad that Elizabeth was going to go, but I felt like those extra 3 days or whatever was a gift to where I could use that time to build relationships with John and Alec and other Goliath members that I haven't met yet. So that was kind of my plan.
Can you just go back to the with Elizabeth being up there for somebody who was on the block? Is that like going back to what you were talking about with Big Brother where, you know, hey, somebody from your alliance is going to go home and you just have to be okay with it sometimes?
Yeah, yeah. So like Dan Gieselin, my role model and idol, I guess, because I keep talking about him so much. But I mean, if you remember on the first week of his first season, it was like, should we get rid of Dan or his number one alliance member, and like he cut bait, no questions asked, and like went on to win the game. Like, so yeah, that's more of like the Big Brother approach of, you know, sometimes your alliance member is going to be on the block, and but like you can't save everybody. So yeah, I felt like, well, you know, I really hate to see Elizabeth go. Like, she's my thoroughbred. She helped me out on day two when I needed it more than I ever could have imagined. But like at the same time, it's not like the Goliaths were necessarily gunning for her. It was Carl who was throwing her name out. And it's like, if we're going to have, if it does come down to tribal lines, which at the time I felt like it wouldn't, I felt like the lines would blur more than they eventually did. But I felt like if it's going to come down to David versus Goliath, like we have to have a unified David tribe. And if Carl is the one throwing out Elizabeth's name, I mean, I don't know what I could do.
Did you try to talk to Carl?
No, I didn't really try to talk to Carl about Elizabeth. I felt like it was, I mean, the first time I heard him bring up Elizabeth's name, it was in a conversation with, like, I know Alec was there. It's possible Kara was there, and maybe like either Allison or Angel. Like, there were Goliaths present when Carl said, Elizabeth's got to go. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you saw the episode where Elizabeth's back was hurting her.
Yeah.
Like, I love Elizabeth. I think on day 18 or 21 or whenever it was, I don't think that was the same Elizabeth that was on day two that told me I was in trouble. I really think like the elements had kind of gotten to her. She has back problems. She had just, you know, she just gave birth probably 2-3 months before we went out there. I mean, I feel like the elements had kind of got the best of her. And so yeah, the big brother kind of sometimes your allies on the block, that mentality took over where and it was really odd because it was kind of the same situation two votes in a row with Lyrsa and with Elizabeth where I felt like, you know, I hate to see them go, but, you know, sometimes you just got to cut bait.
Ultimately, did you know about the Angelina conversation with Elizabeth prior to that tribal council?
No. No, I didn't know about that until tribal council. But what I did know about them throwing out Christian's name that early already. And mm-hmm. then actually, I'm pretty sure that Alec, I was walking with Mike and Alec come up and threw Angelina's name out and was trying to, you know, there was a lot of, even though it seemed like Elizabeth was the clear cut first vote, there was some other names going around. And I was aware that Christian was one of them. I think Christian was aware of that also. And, you know, Alec talked about maybe even Angelina because she was being, I think, maybe a little too forceful with the glass when they were deciding on who to vote out and stuff. But, yeah, I didn't know about the Angelina and Elizabeth conversation until tribal council. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, I think there's like gifts of me at that tribal because like that was just like music to my ears. And after the Natalie jacket thing and then the Lyrsa tribal council where she was talking about my Wilson blue eyes and then at this tribal council, it was like the third tribal council in a row where Angelina just does something that is like so helpful. It's like, thank you. Like there is never going to be a target on my back as long as this girl is like doing stuff like this. So yeah, I was elated to hear about this conversation. And then Allison accused her of trying to get jury votes already. Like, oh, it was just too beautiful.
Going back to the Strike Force, did you think that the Strike Force would be a thing after the initial conversation?
I was surprised the Strike Force was in the show. Like you saw
because
me
it was such a non-factor.
Yes, like you saw me walk down the beach. They said, "Hey, we're coming up with an alliance. Do you want to be in it?" I said yes, and I walked back to the shelter. And then the very next vote, they were gunning for Christian. So I was like, "Well, so much for that alliance." I mean, the fact that you know it was so heavily featured, I was surprised. And I think the reason why is because Christian gave it a catchy name. And then also, I think it kind of emphasized the fact that the Goliaths just, I guess, weren't budging because that is like the perfect encapsulation of like how the game went in the early merge. It was like, okay, we'll vote out Elizabeth and then we'll vote out a Goliath and like, let's all work together. The lines can be blurred. It don't have to be David versus Goliath, but I think the Strike Force was like the perfect metaphor for that. It's like it showed six of us working together, but it's just never going to happen because mm-hmm. they weren't willing. It's like, okay, we got a six-person alliance with Christian in it. All right, now let's vote out Christian. It's like, well, what kind of alliance is that? I mean, you try to vote out the guy the very next vote. So I guess that's why it showed up. But yeah, I mean, really for me, it was just, it was one of many alliances and it was, I almost even forgot about it by the time they showed it on the show.
Hey, if you have a lot of alliances, you can lose track of them.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Have a lot going on. Yeah.
That's why I couldn't name every single one. So I'm sorry to anybody who didn't get an alliance name.
Okay. So here you are at the merge. And so you've just had this one vote with Elizabeth going out, but you have a lot of alliances but do you have one main alliance in mind? Like who do you feel like you have the most loyalty to in your mind?
I feel like I had a few. I mean, my number one was probably Carl and Davey.
Mm-hmm.
I would say like, if I had my choice, I would say, all right, yeah. If somebody approached me on day 24 or whatever, and I was like, all right, Nick, you got a secret advantage. You picked the final three. Who are you closest to or whatever? It probably would have been Carl and Davey. But I mean, I also had a good alliance with Mike and Angelina. I was really close with Mike, which he was close with a lot of people. I was really close with Christian. And I mean, I was close with Gabby too, but she worried me more because she was so close with Allison. But I mean, I guess like at that time, if you said, who's your, you know, like, who is your final three? I would say it was probably Carl and Davey. But I mean, you know, Survivor's not always exactly like that. I was close with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now here's where things really start to heat up in terms of your game after the merge.
Okay. I have one more complaint about the editing.
Yes.
Before we go to the final 12.
Okay.
There's not enough voting confessionals.
Okay. Yeah. Because why? Because you're like a swing vote, and so they don't want to show you what were you saying in there?
Okay. So for Elizabeth, somebody told me that I had the best voting confessionals, and only two of them married. The one with Natalie, which was you can make a preacher cuss. Mm-hmm. I don't know if everybody thought that was funny, but let me tell you, it was a hit in southeastern Kentucky. Everybody thought it was like the funniest thing they ever heard out here in Kentucky. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. What do the Kentucky people think to me? Because you can't please everybody, as you know.
Yes.
So as long as I got the Kentucky people satisfied, I'm satisfied. Well, for Lyrsa, I said something in Spanish that I probably can't repeat right now because it took me like a few minutes to come up with. And then for the Elizabeth one.
Wait, what was it? What was it? Something? It was something that was complimentary or defamatory to Lyrsa?
Yeah, no. It was just like, see you and, you know, like, see you later or something.
Okay.
Like, I'm sorry. It was like, lo siento, nena, es porque Mike. Like, I'm sorry, Lyrsa, or I'm sorry, girl. Like, this is because of Mike. Like, hasta luego in Puerto Rico. Like, I'll see you later in Puerto Rico. Like, it was something very simple. That, you know, I don't speak Spanish fluent, but I can...
You can speak it a little bit.
Yeah, I can speak it enough to where I come up with something. I can hear it pretty good, but, you know, I can't speak it as good as I can hear it.
Yeah.
But then for Elizabeth, yeah. I said... Because she kind of lost it a little bit in the last couple of days. Like, she was involved with the chickens and, like, you know, you saw the shelter thing. And so I said, you got a little rowdy there, cowgirl. Thanks for the alley. I'll take the oop. Meaning, like, you gave me these 3 days. I appreciate it. Like, don't worry. All I need is these 3 days. I'm going to go for it. Like, try my best to bring this home for the David tribe. Because I know Elizabeth is one of those. You know, she's a David through and through. She's one of those people that was like, she wants a David to win. If it can't be her, she knows, like, it's another David that should win. So I thought that was – I was reminded of that confessional. I actually forgot about it. So somebody thought it was really funny, so I thought I should share it.
What was the best one? What of all the votes you cast? What's the one, whether we saw it or not, that you're the most proud of?
Oh my gosh, Jessica's was pretty. I shouldn't go there. Do you remember on Jessica's exit interview, she told you who was the best cuddler on the day of the camp?
Yes.
She said it was me. So when I voted her out, I said, only my girlfriend is allowed to cuddle me like that.
Oh.
So that was kind of mean. But I thought, like, if they show this, like, I'll score points with my girlfriend. I got voted anyway, so I might as well try to get points with my girlfriend with her mom. And then, oh, my God, the one for John was the best, especially if you're a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I made, like, the different alliances names with everybody. For me and John, I was like, dude, like, we could kill this game. Like, we could be the tag team champs of Survivor. And so we, like, tried to come up with a tag team championship name. Or, like, you know, like, you remember the New Age Outlaws, like, Road Dogg, Jesse James, and Badass Billy Gunn. And, like, I mean, you've watched wrestling before, right? Like, if you have a tag team.
Yeah, I mean, I think I vaguely remember that. But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so, like, if you have a tag team, like, where it's you and another partner, you have a tag team name. So it's like, John's like, we're the torch snuffers. Like, we snuff everybody's torch that tries to cross us. And so, like, that's why I had the toothpick in my mouth at that tribal council.
Yeah.
Because there was an old wrestler named Scott Hall, and he used to go by Razor Ramon.
Yes.
And he would always, like, say something and then flip the toothpick at the camera. So I said, hey, brother, and I'm not sure if this is Hulk Hogan or Randy Savage. It's kind of maybe a combination of them both. But I was like, hey, brother, you call yourself a torch snuffer, but your torch is about to get snuffed because you lied to me to my face. And that's the bottom line because, like, Kentucky Nick said so or something like that. And so I just, like, flipped the toothpick at the camera, and that was probably my favorite one because it's a wrestling thing.
Yeah. I didn't know you were so into wrestling.
Well, when I was into it, I was really into it. Like, you know, when I was a kid, and honestly, I'm so surprised. I'd never seen John before because he said he started about 2004, 2005.
Yeah.
And that's probably about the time I quit watching wrestling. Cause when I was like 7 until I was like probably 13 or 14, like, you know, for WCW, it was like Sting, NWO, Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage. Like, I loved all those guys. And for WWF, what is now WWE, it was like The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin was my favorite. And you had like D-Generation X and all that. But the one for Dan, I think, was a pretty good one too.
Yeah, what'd you say for Dan?
Well, one thing we talked about a lot was college football because, you know, I went to Alabama for law school and Kentucky. So he works in Gainesville. He's an SEC guy. So we talked about that a lot. And then he's also a cop. And so, like, I had two votes and I was writing Dan for both of them. And so I lifted up the first one and I was like, the public defender outsmarts the cop yet again. And then, like, I held up the other one and I was like, two times. And then I was like, it's all about the Wildcats around here anyways. And then I did the Gator Chomp, you know, the Gator Chomp thing.
I don't, but I'll take your word.
The Florida fans. So the Florida fans, it's like their thing they do in the stands. They do the Gator Chomp where they put their hands like up and down.
But Nick, the problem, you're referencing too many things that aren't on the show.
These are
too many like inside jokes from your interaction with people.
But they were my favorites, though.
Yeah, they were good. Good for you, but nobody else is gonna know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's why the two that made it is like you can make a preacher cuss, and then I held up Allison's vote, and I was just like, "See ya." And that's it. Just two words. But they got to do more. They got to show more because somebody's gonna get it. Not everybody's gonna get Wendell.
They kind of want to hide what's gonna happen.
Yeah, they want to keep it hidden. But like, not everybody, I think, knows what drop the mic means, or put the, what did Wendell say? Put the mic. Well, I guess.
But they showed him rapping on the show. They know that like that was like a thing that happened on the episode.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay. But anyways, they need to show more, whether it's mine or somebody else's. Like, those are hilarious usually. So, but I think that's something they're doing now. Like, they will laugh at themselves more now. And that's what I try to tell them out there. Like, because, and that's one thing we like about Big Brother. You know, it's not the most serious show all the time. And it's like what I told them out there is like, especially coming off Ghost Island, which we all love Survivor, but sometimes it feels like it's too much strategy. I was like, you know what? Sometimes you just want to watch Keith Nell spit. Like, that's all you need for a funny show. Like, it don't have to be some super strategic chess match all the time. Like, just show me Keith spitting, driving a tuk-tuk, and I'm going to laugh. You know what I mean?
Wait, Nick, are you taking credit for some of the editing style this season?
No, but I'm glad that it happened. And I think it is, don't tell Jeff ever that it's more like Big Brother, because then everything will change. But I think it is a little more of like the Big Brother-esque kind of, we're a TV show, it's a serious game, it's for $1 million. But at the same time, like, we can laugh at ourselves, you know? It's fun. It's funny. If you ever put people on an island losing their mind for 39 days, there's going to be some hilarious stuff go on. So, I think they realized that and showed more of that.
We're going into this tribal council or this round of voting where you are about to find the vote steal from the merge feast. Now, this all took place in the previous round, right? Like, you guys found this like right after you guys ate the merge feast, not a couple days later like it was on the show.
Yeah, the steal of vote we found like a couple hours after the merge feast. And I think they didn't show it that way because then, like, we would have had the numbers, including Elizabeth. But I chose not to use it at that time because I really felt like the steal vote is something I would use at, like, final six or seven or something, you know. I thought I would keep it for a lot longer. I mean, if I had known that my cards would have been forced and I'd have to use it in the next five, six days, I probably would have went ahead and used it with Elizabeth in the game. But anyways, I think that could be maybe why they changed the timeline just a hair.
Yeah, so you and Davey found this together. Was there any sort of like discussion about like the ownership of the, you know, that you guys worked together, you tracked it down, Davey did that diversion, but you're the one who ultimately ends up with it. Like, but like when you're talking about it, is it like ownership is more than 9/10 of the law on Survivor?
I don't think there was any discussion. And I think that's just a testament to how much we trusted each other. One thing we did commit, or at least one commitment I was completely on board with and I made this commitment and I'm in it, was that, you know, I found, like, Davey found the clue with me, and then I found the advantage with Carl. And I told both of those guys that, like, look, this is our secret. I'm not going to tell anybody else about it unless I talk to each of you to understand that you think it's okay that I tell somebody about it. So that's why I didn't tell Christian or Gabby about it immediately. Not because I didn't want to, but because I hadn't talked to Davey and Carl about that. Because actually, there's a really funny thing that happened that I'm surprised didn't make the air, where Gabby came to me with the information of the clue at the merch feast. And she was like, I swear I saw this palm tree. Or first she said, like, do you remember a picture on the napkins at the merch feast? I was like, no, I don't think so. And she was like, yeah, remember the picture by where we got the bus and then it was on our napkins? I was like, no, I don't think so. And she's like, yeah, I'm telling you, like, it looked like this, like it was different colors. I was like, and there was something on it. Do you remember what was on it? I was like, oh yeah, wasn't it like a bird or something? And she's like, you know, she was like, no, like,
yeah,
it was that tree over there. I was like, nah, I don't think that's right. And so basically she was like, no, I'm telling you, let's go look now. Like, there's an idol over here. And so we like, went and looked for the advantage together after I'd already found it. And yeah, I felt pretty bad about that. But I was like, mm-hmm. I was like going through the motions of looking for it with her. And but later I was like, trust me, I wanted to tell you, but I didn't have time to get along with Carl and Davey and discuss it. And I mean, eventually you saw, we all five got together and told each other everything. So it all worked out, but that was pretty funny.
When did you find out about Davey's idol that he found at the original David tribe?
On the hammock, when we were talking about the vote. So I was like, Davey, because everybody thought it was Angelina. Like, they really did. Like, everybody really thought it was Angelina. And I probably would have too, but Mike told me, and Alec, and Allison. Okay, a lot of people told me that it was actually going to be Christian. Mike, Allison, Alec all told me that it was going to be Christian because, you know, I had been working with them and stuff. And they all trust me a lot. So I went to Davey and I was like, should we use our steal a vote to save someone? And he was like, I don't know. Like, it depends on who it is. And so I was like, okay, should we use it to save Christian? And he was like, what? What are you talking about? I was like, dude, I swear to God, like, but don't, you know, don't make it obvious or anything, but like, I mean, what do we do? Like, we can use this to tie up the numbers. It'd be 6-6. Like, I mean, should we do that? Should we draw a rock? Should we let him? And he's like, no, 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 wait. He's like, don't worry about the steal vote. He's like, this is, you know, we need to use something else. And so when he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, like, you have a freaking idol. Like, holy crap, I can't believe it. And he just like nodded his head. And I was like, holy shit, like, all right, we got to plan this out. And so, like, we talked about it. I was like, we will save him. And so, I was like, all right, I'll come back. I'll try to think of something. And so we had talked about it, and I went to the well, and, you know, I thought about it and stuff. And basically what it come down to was, like I said, Mike, Allison, and Alec all told me the truth. And so that left Dan, John, and Kara lying to me. And so they were telling me that the vote was going to be Angelina. And so I felt like I really had to, if I was going to make a big move, I felt like I had to use it mm-hmm. on one of them three because they were the ones actually lying to me about the vote. Dan had won immunity that time. So I felt like if I was going to make a big move, I really mm-hmm. like John so much. I mean, if you ever meet him, he is the nicest guy in the world. But I felt like if it comes down to using a big move, and you got to understand, like, my whole game this whole time was flying under the radar, being underestimated, not showing my cards. Like, I mean, everybody thought I was a social worker. I have an accent. They probably thought I was kind of dumb. I mean, even if they thought I was smart, like, I was still underestimated. You know what I mean? So this was the moment to where, like, I was really making a huge move way too early, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's like final 12. Like, I don't want to make a move at final 12. I want to make a move at like final 7 or final 8. And so when it come down to that, it was like, if I'm going to make a move like this and my choices are John and Kara, like, I feel like, no offense to Kara, I feel like it would kind of be a waste to use it on Kara when there's someone like John who, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen this guy wrestle, but he is a freak. Like, he's like the kind of person who could win every single immunity. And he is just a beast. And in person, he is huge. So that was when I made up. You know, that's when I kind of come up with the plan. I went to Davey. I told him, I was like, you know, if me, you, and Christian just vote for one person, we don't have to tell Carl, we don't have to tell Gabby, there'll be little suspicion possible. like, we can split our vote because we know for a fact they had to put all seven on Christian. And Davey agreed with me, and he was in on the plan. And he also agreed not to do Kara, which is, of course, because he was close with Kara because they were on Vuku together. So we all agreed to vote John, three votes. I went and talked to Christian for literally probably 3 minutes. And I mean, that was just like a testament of mine and Christian's relationship. Like on day six, when we voted out Jessica, I literally looked at him and said, Jess. And he said, yes. And that was it. Like that was how much we trusted each other. And then on day, probably 24 or something, I went and talked to him. I was like, look, I cannot be seen talking to you, but I mean, do you trust me 100%? He's like, yeah. Like what's going on? I was like, you have to write down John. Like if I tell you to write down John, would you do it? And of course, Christian, he's like, well, I have to calculate the votes. Like, what are the numbers? Like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, just trust me. Like, I mean, an idol would be involved. Like, we don't need seven. We only need just a few votes. And that was the hard part about working with Christian was like trying to make him not overthink everything. And so I was like, look, just write down John and talk to Davey and don't talk to nobody else. So what I'm pretty sure happened is, you know, he heard it from me first, and then I'm pretty sure like him and Davey got together and discussed things probably in more detail. But yeah, that was basically how it came together. And I think Davey told Carl before it actually happened, which I think was probably a mistake on his part because we didn't tell Gabby it was going to happen. And so I think we should have either not told either one of them or told both of them. I didn't want to tell either one of them just because I wanted to keep, you know, the least amount of people that know. And I'm not saying they would tell somebody, and I trusted them that they wouldn't, but I just didn't want to get caught myself by being suspicious or whatever. So I think Davey told Carl. I think that was probably a mistake on our part, because also after the vote, it made Gabby feel like the one person on the outs of the David Five. So other than that, I think it was executed flawlessly. Davey did an amazing job. I think he talked to Kara a little bit to confirm my, you know, what I had heard, that it was Christian. So yeah, he felt 100% comfortable playing that idol for Christian. And I mean, that's the split minority vote. First time ever.
So there's a lot there. I just want to go over a couple of those details. So in the show, we see Alec is the one who talks to you, but you say that Angelina and Mike White also told you ahead of time
and
that
Allison.
It was going to be Christian with the vote.
Yeah.
And Allison. Yeah, so four of the Goliaths told you it was going to be Christian.
Yeah. And when they showed Alec telling me, like, that's honestly what I didn't remember, because I feel like the person that unfairly took the blame for that blindside was Mike, because everybody knew me and Mike were close from the Jimmy tribe. So Mike was furious after that vote because he was like almost labeled as the leak of information, or as the guy that kind of like backstabbed the glass or whatever. And so, I was honestly I almost didn't even remember Alec telling me when I saw it on TV.
Did the Goliaths, were they angry with Mike after that? Because, hey, who leaked this? It must have been Mike. And then the other people that told you just all kept quiet?
Yeah, basically, I think that's how it went.
And then you told Christian in the episode, you told Christian, hey, we've got a plan. And then, what do I do? He asks you. And you say, nothing right now.
Yeah, Christian's like, oh my God, the plan is changing. Yeah, he's like, what do I do? What do I do? I was like, dude, don't do nothing. Yeah. Like, do absolutely nothing. Act exactly the way you was going to act, because everybody should think you're voting Angelina. Like, everybody should think, you know, nobody should know about this plan. Don't do anything different. But he like, thinking, okay, well, who should I talk to? What should I do? I was like, don't do nothing. Like, if you have to do something, go talk to Davey. I was like, just be cool.
But then why tell him anything? If there's no action item for him, why tell him?
Well, he has to vote John. We need his vote, because we want John to go. So, yeah, I mean, we just got lucky Dan played his idol on Angelina. Of course, we thought that could happen, and that's why we put two votes her way. But we had three on John, so John would have went home either way. But we needed it split just in case Dan, for some whatever reason, I mean, crazy stuff happens on Survivor, in case he plays an idol on John. We needed three votes on John and two on Angelina. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe we should have told Carl instead. But
and you guys didn't know that he had two idols at this point, right?
Well, here's the thing. I knew for a fact he had one. I knew he had the Goliath idol because Mike told me, because Jeremy went through Dan's jacket and saw it. So Mike told me I've literally seen Dan's idol. So when we come back to Colo Colo, or when we merge and stuff, I told Christian, I was like, yeah, I know for a fact Dan has an idol. And so Christian starts saying, well, I didn't find the green idol. I don't know who did. We started trying to do like an idol party, like an idol search party on the day that they thought we were going to merge. And everybody's like, yeah, like we got to find this thing. We don't want another tribe, you know, another person in the game to come and find it. And Dan's like, oh, I mean, we're having a good morning. Let's just have our breakfast. Like, let's make some of this oatmeal or whatever they were making, some rice with their brown sugar. And he's like, yeah, let's just chill. And so, like, when there's five people and four of them's on board to search for an idol, and one of them's like, oh, let's not waste our time. You know, that was a pretty good hint that that Christian suspected Dan had the idol. Well, then once Dan played an idol for Angelina, I thought for sure he had to have another one. Because I didn't think they were really seeing eye to eye. So if Dan plays one on Angelina, in my mind, that was like the last piece of evidence I needed to suspect he had that green idol as well. Or the idol from the green tribe, I should say.
Okay, Nick, I watched this back before we talked. And when we get the votes, and the votes come up for Christian, then we get two votes for Angelina. And then you say at this tribal council, well, now what? No, you voted for John. You know what's going to happen. Yeah. What are you doing here? Who are you trying to fool?
I was trolling. I was trolling so hard. It was so funny. Because everybody was looking around. Like, Angelina was looking around. Oh, my God. Zero votes. Like, all the votes are canceled. And so, I was just trolling him. I was like, oh, now what? There's no votes. Now what do we do? And then it was like, John. I was like, oh, God. Yeah. That's something I do that I probably shouldn't. It's mean, but it's kind of funny.
I was laughing when I went back and I watched that. Yeah. But you know exactly what's coming up. And John took it really well.
John is a champ. I mean, he is literally, he's a class act. He really is like one of the nicest people I've ever met. And I'm not kidding. And when I talk to people after the game, if they ask me, you know, did anybody surprise you? Or is there anybody that you saw and then once you met was like completely different or something? I'm like, it's John. Like, if you look at him, if you see him, like, I mean, he's a wrestler. Like, he's huge. Like, you know, you think, oh, this guy's a wrestler. And he's like, I don't know, like a mean steroid freak or something. But no, he is like literally one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. So, yeah, I'm not surprised he took it like a champ. And he was laughing. And he was probably starving to death. So he was trying. I mean, he probably had a silver lining because, you know, those big guys, they starve to death. So,
after that tribal council, you know, we see now that the game has, you know, you've gotten it back to 6-5. And now the Goliaths are within reach because you have your vote steal. This episode, you seem to be pretty annoyed that you're talking to the Goliaths, but then they keep going back and having meetings without any of the Davids. And this seems like this is really bothering you at this point.
Yeah, well, it was annoying. And it's kind of like what Gabby did, like with that outburst at Tribal, when she was like, you know, like we basically had Elizabeth as a sacrificial lamb. And it's like, okay, so they just sold us a bill of goods and like whatever they were saying to get us vote out of Elizabeth was completely false. And basically they played us and they had the numbers. So they were just acting like true Goliaths. And it's almost like the manner in which they did it was even more infuriating. It's like they just got together at the beach and like you're looking around camp, you see five people, they're all Davids, six people are missing, they're all Goliaths. Like, well, no shit. Yeah. Like, it's just like, it was just like rubbing it in our faces. And so I think that's what probably bothered me the most. And also the fact that they were actually screwed and didn't know it. It just made it that much better because I had the vote steal. Carl had that nullifier. I mean, like we had more stones in our arsenal.
Yeah.
I guess you could say as a David versus Goliath metaphor. But like they were still acting like they were the Goliaths and they had the numbers 6-5. And like they strategize whenever they want for as long as they want. That's another problem I had. If you sneak off, and we did it as Davids, at least the very one time that was on TV where we were all talking to each other about what advantages we have, but we snuck off for like 10 or 15 minutes, you know? I mean, they would just like completely go off together for hours and then like come to camp and be like, yeah, we're voting out Angelina this time. So it was just like, I don't know, just the manner with which they did everything. It was just infuriating.
Yeah.
It just felt like belittling.
Nick, was there one Goliath in particular that you were upset with that wasn't willing to work with you? Like, was it Mike or, Allison or Angelina, that somebody that had been like talking with you, but then would go back and then only sort of work with the Goliaths?
Okay. Watching the show, it was Mike, because he was like the most Goliath strong, but out there he did such a good job. I had no idea that it was him, like tooting that horn so hard. So in the game, the most frustrating to me was Allison, because she was the one that was like, you know, I got to have this game and I got to make my resume and stuff. Let me tell you, whoever goes out and plays Survivor next year, do not say the word resume. It's so annoying and nobody cares. Like, and it'll do nothing but screw your game up. But Allison was the one that talked about resumes and how she had to make her moves and like how she really wanted it to be cross tribal lines. And she could have made a move. Like, she really was tight with Christian and Gabby. Like, it would have made sense for her, you know? But she was the one that kept shying away from it. And coming into the merge, like, I really wanted to work with Allison. But, like, just two or three votes in, like, I was so frustrated with Allison that it's almost like the person I couldn't work with. But I'll tell you, I made some mistakes in the game. Everybody does, I think. And I won, and I still think I made mistakes. I think one of my biggest mistakes was not trying to bond more with Kara and Allison, because I tried to work with Allison in the beginning and then it just never worked out. And so she just, I don't know, it just kind of, it was whatever. But at a certain time, that was like 2 out of 13 people, you know? And that was like, and I was like, well, there's 11 or there's 12 other people in the merge. I've bonded with 10 of them. That's good enough. Well, then eventually, they're two of the final five. So, yeah, like, that's a huge mistake I made, I think. But I think it all stemmed from some of the frustrations I had with her when we made the strike force, or when we would talk about, like me and Allison, in the first few days of the merge, like, we had a lot of good strategy talks. And, like, she loved Alec, and so did I. And she loved Gabby and Christian, and so did I. I mean, like, we had a good core that we could have worked with, but nobody would make a move. And you know, maybe I'm being hypocritical, because if it's 6-5, I mean, what would you do? You know, it's kind of the easy thing to do. But still, to talk to somebody a lot about doing it, and then she never did, I think that was probably the one that frustrated me the most.
We have the scene in this episode where the five Davids are on the beach, and everybody's talking about the advantages that they have. You're talking about the vote steal. Christian reveals that he found the idol. Carl has the idol nullifier. And this is the five Davids. And Davey had just used the idol to save Christian the night before. And you guys have an arsenal.
God, it was so – what could have been? It was so beautiful. That David Five Alliance, man, it was so good.
Yeah, well, it worked out for you.
Yeah, it worked out for me. Oh, but still, yeah, I mean, that was awesome. Like, but that's just a testament to how much we all trusted each other in that moment. They're like, you know, when you go into Survivor, at least for me, and I know Angelina felt the same way, if you're going to find an idol or you're going to find something, it is a secret. Like, you keep it to yourself no matter what. But us five people, and that's a big number in Survivor is five. It's hard to keep an alliance five together. All five of us trusted each other so much that we could literally just talk about everything that we had and we wanted and what we wanted to do. And like, we were just so, yeah. I mean, that was awesome. That was one of my favorite moments of the show, I think.
Well, I have, you know, a theory about Survivor that, you know, it doesn't matter what the numbers are, but it's like whatever is the biggest, tightest group where that if, you know, even look at like, you know, Russell's season in Samoa, where it didn't matter that it was 8 versus 4 because that 4 was super tight. You know, you guys were all on the same page at 5 and you were able to really flip things around.
I agree. And I think that's why, because we were more committed. And I mean, we had the advantages, like we found them. So that obviously helped.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be.
But you guys were able to share that information. You know, there's lots of seasons where, yeah, you know, people have, you know, advantages and they, that in their own alliance, they don't, you know, reveal what they know.
Yeah. And it's like the three amigos, like that got on one more vote or whatever. Yeah. Like for us, we found them, which is good. But then because we shared them with each other, yeah, I think that's what allowed us to be able to execute them so flawlessly. I mean, if I had to steal a vote but didn't know about Carl's, I don't know if I, I mean, we wouldn't have got Dan out that time. Mm-hmm. I could have tried to use it on somebody else. But, you know, when we put them working together, that's when it really, you know, that's when it really was a grand slam.
Here we are now, and you are about to use your vote steal. You're going to steal Allison's vote, and then you guys are going to cast your votes against Dan. You gave a great interview to Josh Wigler after this round of play, where you really went into detail about just about everything here, including why you played the idol or stole Allison's vote, because then Carl wouldn't get as much credit. Is there anything that we don't know about this vote steal move?
Yeah, so the most aggravating thing, which like in a written interview I couldn't really go into because it's just too long, is like, you know, there's always a plan and then there's a fake plan or whatever. So like the plan the Goliaths were selling us, Kara and Allison and Alec were all telling us that us five Davids plus those three Goliaths were going to do a vote split. And so I reckon it was us five going to vote for Dan, and those three vote for Angelina in case Dan had an idol. And so I knew they were just straight up lying to her face. And actually, this is another time where it was really nice for me to watch the episode, because I saw how close they really were to doing that. And that made me feel better. And especially Kara, I thought it looked like she was close in the episode. That made me feel a lot better about Kara and maybe feel like I had read her slightly wrong. But still, it don't matter because they were full of shit, and I saw that. So, I mean, at the end of the day, they weren't going to do it. So, like, I saw that. So, like, that is probably the main reason I was so frustrated with Allison and why I stole her vote, like, just to mess with her and to make her freak out because she kept checking her pulse and stuff. So, like, there was the strategic reasons, but also there was, like, these guys are literally lying to us right now about a vote split. They're saying they're going to vote out Angelina, and like, it's like what Mike said at Final Five or whatever. He's like, oh, so you're saying people are lying? Like, that was hilarious. And it's true. Like, obviously people are lying. But still, like, just the way they went about it. Like, you know, like, they believe they're going to do a vote split and they're lying to her face. So, yeah, that's kind of the reason I chose her.
In terms of how this was seen after the fact, you had these two advantages that got played. There was your advantage, and then Carl also played the nullifier to get Dan out of the game. I know you were concerned about that, that hey, if you stole Allison's vote and then Dan played his idol on Allison, then Carl wouldn't get credit. Were you thinking along those lines?
Absolutely.
About how who was getting more credit for this?
Yeah, I thought about that. I mean, it's in front of a jury, so everything in front of a jury you got to think about. But also, I thought of the possibility of saving the nullifier. So I was telling, me and Gabby mentioned, and you know, we weren't like dead set on this plan or anything, that we said like, well, if we steal Dan's vote and vote out Allison, you know, we can save the nullifier for another day. But Carl, and I don't blame him because this is the foolproof move, you know, put the nullifier on the person that you want out 100% and then you know they'll go home. So I thought that the vote steal should be used in a misdirection one way or another, either to vote out somebody other than Dan, and hopefully Dan plays an idol on himself, or to play it on Allison, and then maybe Dan could play his idol on Allison. But I mean, and Dan thought about playing it on Allison, but I thought it would be a good, you know, it's a good tool to use to just like confuse them completely and make them misplay the idol. And then the nullifier don't even ever come up. But I mean, it worked out beautifully for TV. So I'm glad it went the way it did. But I mean, that's why, what I was mentioning earlier, that's why Kara and Alec actually wrote down Angelina, because they had told us like that was their fake plan or whatever. So that's why they wrote down Angelina on that vote.
Now, Nick, you're pretty locked in here with the date with the five Davids moving forward. This next vote, Alec is going to go out. Do you, in your mind, do you have a final three set up in terms of who you're going to want to be sitting there at the end with?
Well, after they wrote down Angelina's name, Kara and Alec, Angelina started coming back, you know, coming to the David side. Mike and I had... He was really mad at me after the John thing, but after the Dan blindside, you know, I was able to explain to him, like, look, you know, this is why this happened. Like, I really didn't know Davey had an idol when you told me that it was going to be Christian, but I went to Davey with the information because I had this vote steal, and, you know, I didn't want it to go to waste. Someone tried to use it. So, me and Mike were kind of starting to patch things up, but I mean, at this time, you know, when Alec goes and it's five versus four, yeah, I was pretty locked in with the Davids, I would say. And I think I was probably closest with Carl and Davey, that would be my final three. Mm-hmm. But I had Angelina and Mike too, just in case, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was once Carl got blindsided when I saw in my secret scenes, like, well, if the David thing is screwed, like, you know, I'll just go, you know, it would probably be in my best interest to go with Angelina and Mike because I think I could beat them.
What about Mason Dixon? Was it just that, did you feel like that Christian couldn't be beat in the finals? Where did he fall out of favor in terms of going to the end with you?
Yeah, I was pretty tight with Christian for a long time. So there's how I felt about Christian before the Carl blindside, and then there's how I felt about him after. I think it's two completely different stories. So it depends on when you're talking
about. But this is before him and Gabby flipped.
Yeah, before they flip, I would say, we'll go to the final five together. Sure, why not? Mm-hmm. I mean,
but they're on the outside.
I mean, I guess, but what's it matter anymore? I mean, you saw Ben win when he was on the outside at final eight. Like, the game starts so much quicker now. If you can guarantee yourself final mm-hmm. five nowadays, you better take it, especially if you're guaranteed final four. Like, I don't care who's taking you to the final four. If you're guaranteed that, you better take it, because there's not even a vote at final four anymore. So, like, yeah, what if Christian was on the outs at final five? So what? All you got to do is find an idol or win immunity. I mean, it's such a different game now with the final four challenge. I really think it is.
Alec is going to be the person who's going to go out here. Was there any talk about pushing the vote in a different direction, or you didn't mind seeing Alec go out?
I wanted Alec to go there because he won that immunity so quick. Like, it was basically like the high knees in football where you go through that obstacle. And he didn't even high knee. Mm-hmm. He jumped over the whole thing. Like, he just jumped over it. And I was like, holy crap, like, how do you compete with this? And then we had a reward challenge for the raps and the love letters. And we were way ahead. And we got to the thing where you had to throw the rung on a ladder. And I mean, I missed quite a mm-hmm. few, but it didn't matter. Once he got there, he shot like, I think, five times and hit three of them. So it was like, it was like, what the heck? And actually, I think I complained to Carl in private. I was like, dude, who's going to win anything as long as Alec's here? And, you know, I was just frustrated mm-hmm. about the challenge. And then Carl started telling everybody in public at the fire. And I was like, all right, Carl, go for it. And so I just, I was definitely willing to let that take over, because he was a huge threat. And I think in my frame of mind out there, the last thing I had seen on Survivor was Ben win. And so
mm-hmm.
the idea of letting the threat stay one more day than they should scared me to death. So if it was somebody like Alec or John or Dan, or somebody that was good at finding idols, or somebody that was good at challenges, it's never too early to get rid of them, because Ben had just went on a run finding idols. I can't remember if he won a challenge or not, and then won the final four challenge. I mean, the fire challenge really, I think, speeds up the gameplay. And so if there was a threat, get rid of him as soon as possible, in my opinion, because I had just watched Ben win. Okay. So Carl said Alec, and I didn't say a word.
In this episode also, you are going to find your idol, and you have to sneak out at night. Was this something, were you actually worried about getting caught here?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, people will get up, go to the bathroom all the time. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, right. I had Davey found the clue with me, so I had a lookout. I think that probably made it a lot easier. I was like, Davey, if anybody asks, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to the bathroom. So yeah. that was like all mm-hmm. I needed.
And then also in this episode, this is when you have the chance to sit out for nachos. How were the nachos?
They were great. I don't regret it. Here's the thing. I knew I wasn't a target. No, I knew I wasn't a target. I knew nobody was going to come for me. I hadn't won a reward mm-hmm. yet. I hadn't ate since the merge feast. I don't know. I feel like if you don't think you're a target, you should sit out and eat. It's worth it in the long run. And then it's so funny because like Jeff will still ask you at Tribal, oh, what does this say about Nick and Carl Angelina? And I'm thinking like, it says we ain't going home tonight. Like, we know we ain't going home tonight. So like, what's the big deal? But you know, mm-hmm. they always got to make a spectacle out of it.
I mean, that's the price of doing business when you sit out of the competition. You know that's coming. It's kind of baked in, but you know, Tyson talks about this a lot you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
I've heard Tyson talk about it. But actually the worst part is how quickly you immediately regret eating that much food at once on an empty stomach, in a shrunken stomach, especially when it's like tequila and beans and nacho. It's like, and also Jeff kept going on and on. The record for this challenge was Ty. He lasted 45 minutes or whatever. So I was thinking, oh my gosh, I got 45 minutes. I better eat these as quick as possible. Then they end up going 6 hours, and like, I eat for like 30 minutes of it, and then I'm miserable for like 4 hours. I was like laying under the bench. I couldn't even sit on the bench. Right. I had to lay underneath it in a food coma while Christian's like talking about some weird stuff the whole time. And then we played 20 questions. And oh, man.
Was that fun for the audience?
It was very fun for me. When Jeff said he was a captive audience, that's true. I would ask him like, oh God, I probably shouldn't put this out there, but I would ask him like, oh, well, can this person ever come back? Would you ever invite this person back? And like, he would answer truthfully. So I got a lot of information.
Yeah.
So okay. I'm sorry to the former players. Please don't at me asking. I'm not going to tell.
Yeah. I think we could probably guess, one of a handful of people.
I'm sure you could guess the person that, I was asking real people like, hey, will this person come back? Will this person come back? And he would be like, yes, no, you know about this, right? And then Allison said somebody that just shut the whole conversation down. So, yeah, you can probably guess who that is. Allison said, will this person come back? And Jeff was like, all right, no more.
I won't ask you to divulge your private conversations with Jeff, but would we be surprised by anybody that is not returning to Survivor that would really surprise us?
There was one person that was like a slam dunk yes. And I was like, what the heck? You know this person? So there was a surprise that way.
There was somebody that Jeff said was a slam dunk yes that was a surprise
to you?
There was one
person. Yeah, there was one person I was like, hey, would this person come back? He's like, oh yeah, he's so funny. Like, the kids love him. I was like, oh my God, have you kept up with this person the last 5 years? Oh man, this is too much dirt. Right.
Blind items.
Yeah.
With Nick Wilson.
Sorry.
Okay, I like this. Okay, start the Reddit thread now.
I'll tell you off the air.
Now, so let me get into this vote here. This is going to be when Carl goes home. And this is a big swing in the game at the final nine here, where it's going to be Christian and Gabby who are going to jump ship and vote with Mike and Allison and Kara. Did you have any suspicion that this was even in play? Like, did you have some nagging feeling?
Here's the thing. I was completely blindsided, but here's why. I always felt like, what makes sense for other people to do? And so, like, I could feel the tension with Carl and Gabby. I mean, you'd have to be an idiot not to understand that they were really not liking each other. But, I mean, I knew Angelina was on her side, so I just didn't see how they would have the votes. And, I mean, it was five Davids, four Goliaths. Like, why rush it? Like, why? Why do we have to turn on each other right now? So I wasn't so much blindsided that it happened, but the timing completely surprised me because it was way too early. And I don't care what anybody says. It did not make sense for Christian to do that. And I think it was a big mistake on his part to vote out Carl at that vote. So I was absolutely blindsided. Mm-hmm. If they had waited one more vote, I would have seen it coming. But maybe that's an argument to do it earlier. So I don't know. But, yeah, I was completely blindsided for sure. And actually, after the votes were read, I was sitting there counting. And I was literally counting, sitting at the tribal council. I was going, okay, one, two, three, four. And I was looking around. I was like, Christian? And he was like, yeah, it was me. Like, I'll explain later. Like, you know, like it just didn't make no sense to me. And so that, and actually going back to why I thought, and this was just my first, you know, back in the early days, what I thought of Gabby. I don't think that's the case now, but it was like, I didn't want to work with people that were unpredictable. And I don't think Gabby was the one that was unpredictable, but it was Christian. Like, I just, you know, I thought he was very strategic and rational, but yeah, he made these moves that just didn't make no sense. So I think really he was the unpredictable one, and I just couldn't see it coming.
Yeah. Did you have a sense though with the plan to vote out Allison that not telling Gabby that she was gonna have a negative reaction afterwards and that she was gonna feel replaced by Angelina?
That's the worst part of the whole thing. Yeah, I had a sense. I didn't want to do that. I was close with Gabby. I loved Gabby. And Carl told me to do that, and like, it didn't feel right. So I went to Christian, my Mason Dixon guy, you know, one of my number one alliances from the beginning. I was like, dude, I do not feel comfortable keeping this from Gabby. Like, we should tell her what we're doing. Like, we shouldn't leave her in the dark. And Christian told me, oh, no, don't worry about it. Like, it'll just backfire on Carl later. Like, let's just get through this vote, and then those two will go at each other. And I was like, all right, well, if Christian says so, then he's closer to Gabby than anybody. Like, he would know what to do. So basically, I just took his advice. All the while, he was actually telling Gabby everything and then telling me not to tell her just so that, like, he could stay closer to her or something. So, like, yeah, I mean, he backstabbed me in more ways than one on that vote. And that was the one that actually hurt the most because, like, to me, it was more like as a friend of Gabby as opposed to, like, what's the optimal strategic move or whatever. It was just like, you know what? I don't feel right lying to Gabby about this. Like, why can't we tell her? Like, I don't get it. Like, just because Carl drunkenly says not to tell her, you know, that don't mean I should do that. But if somebody like Christian, who I thought was a rational strategic player, says, okay, well, it's in our best interest from a game standpoint to do it. Well, I did that. And then it felt more personal than that, though. It felt like it was framed to me as a game move, and then it actually turned out to be a personal move. So, yeah, that's what hurt me the most, is that Christian was on board with me lying to Gabby all the while he was not only telling her the truth, but like coming up with the blind side with her. So that was, I think, like when I said Christian's dead to me, I think that was really where it come from, was like how hard he was trying to play us. And we were like the Davids, and we were supposed to be the ones that was on his side. And I mean, I really think like I saved Christian way more times than one. If it wasn't for me, Christian would be at least 12th place. And I felt like he did not, you know, I felt like he didn't appreciate that. And he took that for granted. And I mean, we used the idol on him. We used the vote steal and then idol nullifier, even in the snake challenge. I mean, I'm not saying I threw it, but like I was more worried about him than I was worried about me. I mean, you know, if I'd have tried harder, I might have won that challenge, you know? And so then it come down to Christian lying to me about leaving Gabby in the dark. It's like, I mean, if he really had to, I don't think he had to do that. So that was the worst part of that vote for me. Worse than the blind side was the fact that I lied to Gabby about it and that Christian lied to me about that.
Now, clearly you were not happy about that, and we see that in the episode. Do you feel any differently about it after you saw how it played out and the information that he had at that time?
No, I don't. I mean, I wasn't. So, I mean, I was like emotional after Davey got blindsided. So I was, you know, I was emotional that Carl left too because he was my buddy, but I was more in a point to where I couldn't understand why or how it made sense. So as far as that goes, I'm still in the same place. Like, I can't hear a good explanation from Christian on why he made that move. Everything he's tried to say just don't make no sense. It was just a bad move. Mm-hmm. And it's like Jeff said, you know, I said it, the next tribal council is like, just because you make a move and it's a big move, that don't mean it's a good move. And Jeff compared it to, I don't remember if this made air or not, but Jeff said, it's like you've got some money in your pocket and you just got to spend it. It don't matter what you buy, you just got to spend it. And I really felt like that's what Christian did in that Carl vote. And I still feel the same way. Like, I think he bought a $100 pile of dirt. Does that make sense? Is that metaphor a stretch?
It makes sense. I mean, we've definitely, talked it through a lot on the podcast in terms of whether or not that was a smart move. And the first guess, you know, I didn't like it. Christian definitely has his reasons of why he felt like that it was a good move at the time in terms of what he was trying to accomplish. But I also understand where you're coming from in terms of like, hey, why are we doing this?
And that's another thing, Rob. It's like, well, what did he feel like at the time? Because it's so easy to go back hindsight and say, yeah, that was dumb. But, you know, maybe he felt like something at the time that it would make sense. But this is how I feel 100%. Why can't you wait one more vote? Like, why not just wait? And then the Davids don't lose the majority and we don't implode. And I mean, look at who goes home after Carl goes home. David. I mean, It's only me left. I mean, how does that make sense? So, yeah, I mean, who knows if maybe at the time, if you go back to that moment in time, he can give me an explanation. Okay, I'm going to vote Carl and this is why. Maybe that's possible. But looking back, I just don't see it. And honestly, at the time, I'd probably say, dude, vote Allison and wait two more days. Like, it ain't going to kill you. Like, come on. Patience. Yeah. Like Mike said, what's the one thing you learned from Survivor? Patience.
So you are not happy about this. You know, you're talking to Christian and saying a lot of the same things that you're saying now about the vote with Christian. And are you feeling like that, you know, your game is done here? Do you feel like that that you're going to soon be one of the next people out?
No, that's the best part. With all this shit going on, I never felt like I was even on the line at all. I mean, my name got mentioned day one. And then not again until it was mentioned by Davey, my best friend. And that smoothed over, you know, I was able to smooth that over. So, no, that was the best part. Like, everybody's name was out there, it feels like, except me and Mike. Kara, maybe to an extent. I think the Davids brought up Kara's name some. But, like, yeah, even with all this stuff going on, no, I was so safe. And I had an idol. Like, I was so safe.
This is ultimately going to be the family visit coming up after this. And you and Angelina are going to win the family reward. And you guys are going to pick Davey and you guys are going to pick Mike. Was there any, like, debate between you and Angelina in terms of who you're going to take on the family reward?
Well, I'm glad they did it the way they did. And I kind of got lucky that it was me and Angelina. And that's somebody I was pretty close with. And it wasn't like me and Allison or Kara, I guess. That's the only two people I wasn't really close with the whole time. But so, yeah, when me and Angelina won, I mean, it was just like, all right, I'll pick somebody. You pick somebody kind of deal. But it was also two people that we agreed on. I picked Davey. There was no question about that. I wanted to pick him from, you know, like I said, he was my best friend from the very beginning. I feel like they didn't show that enough until later on in the season. And then we were both friends with Mike. And another thing that happened was everybody was surprised that Angelina's mom was there and Mike's boyfriend was there because Angelina's husband's a Marine, so he couldn't come. But it was supposed to be Mike's dad, but he was, like, sick. And so Jeff told us. And so, like, we were like, well, shit, I mean, we want to know what's up with Mike's dad. I mean, we hope he's not bad off or something. So we loved Mike anyway, so that was just another, that was like icing on the cake of why we should take Mike. So I think it was a pretty easy decision for us.
Now, you guys are talking about a final four there with everybody on the reward. Davey is talking about how he is not so sure he wants to go with this final four. Were you aware that Davey was kind of uneasy about this group as a final four?
No, and I feel like he tried to tell me, and I just couldn't grasp it because in my mind, it's like, hey, final four, final five, whatever you promise me, I will take it. Yes, my answer is yes. I don't care what you say, if it's Alliance question mark? Yes. So final four is like, Davey, dude, we're in a final four. Like, let's go. Like, this is sick. Like, what could be your problem? But he was trying to tell me, well, yeah, like, that's a good final four, but it's like your people, you know. It was like me and you know, my two Jabinis. So like, I can understand why he felt that way. But I mean, Angelina was true. Like, she really wanted me and Davey in her final four. So I can understand where he's coming from now, but I think at the time he tried to tell me what he was feeling, and I just couldn't grasp it because in my mind I was like, who cares? Although at the time I thought a Final Three Alliance was good. Let me tell you, a Final Three Alliance now is worthless. You either need a Final Four or a Final Two because of the Fire Challenge.
Why Final Two? If it's a Final Four before you make the Fire, why are there so many Final Twos right now?
Well, because if you win immunity, who are you going to take with you? So you either want to, I mean, even though from the outside we can say the person who gets took is like the goat or whatever and don't get any votes. Well, it's like chicken before the egg. It's because the person that gets took, the person wins immunity takes them because they know they're not going to get votes. You know what I mean? So like, I will gladly, if Davey wins Final Four immunity, I will gladly have him take me to the end. I don't care. You know, if he takes me to Final Three, that's fine. So it's like, you can do that. Like, you can promise somebody, like, let's go to the end, and if you win the immunity, I'll take you. If I win the immunity, you take me, or you know, vice versa, or whatever, how it makes sense. But you can't do a final three because, like, for instance, the Jabini three was there at the end with Kara. It's like, I can't promise Mike the final three there because he has to earn his way. So I feel like if you have a final four, you can say, all right, we'll go to the final four, then, you know, every man for himself. Like, you got to either win or make fire. And I feel like that's what we had with Davey. But Mike had his eye more on the final twos. And Davey, I think, wouldn't promise Mike that. And I think here's where I feel. Once Davey was gone, I was in a final three alliance. And it didn't matter because I couldn't choose the final three.
Yeah. After you guys get back from the reward, Gabby now wants to vote out Christian. And so she comes to you and Davey to talk about it. She wants to vote out Christian. I mean, is this just music to your ears when you hear this from Gabby?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you why. Because Christian's done pissed me off. And Gabby, I mean, it was kind of a love-hate thing with her because, like, I loved her to death, but I had my sights on her from the very beginning, from the very first time she said she was neurotic. So, like, those feelings had kind of subsided, but then once the Carl blindside happened, like, they kind of came back to frame of mind. You know, I was thinking, like, wow, like, I got a chance to get rid of Gabby. Maybe I should do that because it's not like, you know, it's not like Christian where people, every single vote are going to say, all right, we got to do it now or we're going to be screwed. We got to do it now or we're going to be screwed. So, yeah, I kind of took the chance to go after Gabby as opposed to Christian. But what really stuck with me was we talked to, you know, Gabby approached me and Davey right there. And she said, all right, you know, let's vote for Christian. All we need is like Kara and Allison. We'll have enough people. And she told me, she said, okay, this is the plan. Don't tell Mike or Angelina. And that was like exactly what just happened between me and Carl when they was like, don't tell Gabby, it's Allison. And so that just like, I was like, no, I'm not getting myself in this mess again. Like, if there's a plan, you know, I'm going to tell who I want to tell. and if, you know, if you're telling me a lot of people about it, like, that's what I just did to you, and look where it got me. Like, it got me blindsided. So Mike and Angelina walked around there and was like, what did Gabby say? And I was like, believe it or not, she wants to go for Christian. And she told me not to tell you guys, but I'm telling because, you know, you're my allies. Like, I don't want to lie to people like I just did to her. So, you know, of course, everybody's still lying to each other, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to follow orders like I just did at her expense. So, yeah, that's what she said. And so Mike and Angelina was like, oh, wow, really? Like, why she wouldn't lie to us? Like, what should we do now? And I was like, I don't know. I think maybe you two should write down Gabby. So that was kind of just where that plan come together.
Do you feel like you didn't get enough credit for the Gabby blind side here?
Well, I don't know. At the final tribal council, the jury didn't know what to think.
Because this was your, I just want to be clear, this was your idea,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this was my
move. It's kind of hard to hear in the episode.
Yeah, in the episode, I mean, in real life, in person, I was the one sitting at the shelter, said, you and you write down Gabby. Like, we can take her out now. You know, she's obviously displaying signs of gamemanship. She's going to take out her best friend, you know, that we've been saving left and right. Yeah, I said, well, let's vote for her. And then if Christian plays his idol, it'll be her. So, yeah, it was my move. I feel like the jury didn't really know who to give credit to because the four people in on the plan, I guess you could say, was me and the other two in the final three. So I think the three that really executed the plan was in the final three. And then the other person that helped execute the plan was Davey, who was in the jury house. He's pro Nick no matter what. So if he's giving me credit, maybe they're not. Maybe they take it with a grain of salt because the messenger is Davey and he's for me no matter what. So yeah. At the final tribal council, there was a long conversation about the jury asked, okay, we see a car. We want to know who's driving. And a big scenario they wanted to explain was the Gabby vote. And so we talked about it. And I mean, Mike and Angelina told the jury straight up, yeah, it was Nick's idea, but they executed it. And I agree with that. I was like, yeah, they physically wrote down her name, but, you know, I felt like it was my plan.
Right. were you one of the people that told Christian, make sure you play your idol tonight?
Yeah, I think everybody told him. So all four of us were in on the plan, and I think all four of us told him. I was the one that wanted to do like some genius style, unbelievable like trickery or something. And I told him like the if you hear me say please, please, please at the tribal council, you better play your idol. And I did say it, but it didn't make hair because other people told him. Like, you know, Simon.
Yeah. Now, yes, you know, I know.
Got me. I'm such a nerd.
Would it have been better, though, if Christian went out here and got blindsided with an idol in his pocket? I mean, wouldn't that have been the bigger fish?
You know, I don't know because – and I love Christian, but another reason why I saved him so much or why I wanted him to stay in the game for so long is because I felt like he was my shield. You know, whether he was actually a huge threat or not, the perception was he was the number one biggest threat. So as long as he was in the game – I didn't have to worry about myself getting voted out. And also, I mean, maybe my mistake was voting him out too early because then Davey went. And then, you know, who knows? If I didn't win immunity, it could have been me too. So, you know, I wanted to keep Christian in as long as I could because I felt like as long as Christian's in the game, Nick ain't getting no votes. So he was like my shield.
I mean, yeah, he was taking about, 17 or 18 of them along the way to get to this point.
I got zero.
Eventually, he's going to take three more here in this next round at the final seven. So, ultimately, a lot is going on here. And this episode starts off where you've made a fake idol and you're going to hide it and you're trying to trick Christian into finding your fake idol.
Yeah.
Right?
This is like the most complicated part for me, the final seven. Okay, so the final seven is probably the time in the game that I look back and think about most. First off, there's like the fake idol plan, which I think I think it was a good plan. So I'll tell you like what my plan was and like where I messed up and how it worked and how it didn't work. So my plan was basically, at first I wanted somebody else to find it. All I wanted was a public finding of the idol so that nobody else would look for the idol. So That's what I did. And I mean, I found it on my own, and that worked. I mean, people actually thought I had the idol. And so they stopped looking for it. And it worked insofar as Christian, Allison, Kara, they didn't look for the idol. You know, those are the people I really didn't want to have the idol. It messed up because I was going to tell Davey about the plan. And then, like, I thought he also fell for it. So I was like, well, I guess it's better this way. And so I didn't tell Davey about it. And he's the only person who knew about my real idol. So I thought, well, if I find it on myself, yeah. I mean, I really do have an idol. So if everybody thinks I have an idol, I mean, I really do. So what's it matter? Well, when I lied to Davey, it made him think I have two idols, which I didn't, at least not yet. And so that is really where I messed up. And not only that, I mean, he's like my closest ally, my best friend from day one. He also thinks like I'm lying to him or you know, like there's just something sketchy about me, his number one ally. So
right.
Where it went wrong was I didn't include Davey on the plan. And what I should have done and what I intended to do was say, Davey, I just fooled them. Like, I didn't really find the idol. But now that means me or you, we have to find it. And we have to look for it. You know, and as long as one of us had it, I wouldn't care. You know, I didn't need two idols. I barely even needed one.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make sure other people didn't get it. So that's where it messed up. And, but, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. But because I really feel like the story that you're telling is with, you know, Survivor and these, you know, allies, you know, you tell an ally everything and it's super powerful. And then if there's even just one thing that, you know, oh, you realize your ally isn't telling you one thing, it, you know, the whole thing is just like completely blown up. Everybody, like, well, I'm done with this person. I found out this one thing they didn't tell me.
Exactly. And it's like when Mike blindsided Davey, I was like, well, he must have blindsided me about Lyrsa. He must have been lying to me about this vote, like every single thing, just because that one thing, you know. And so I think it was kind of the same way with Davey. He could tell I was lying to him. So then it was like, why would I trust Nick? And I remember, man, I remember the next morning, Davey came to me. he was walking to the well, and like I was walking down that way too, and he was like, so you have two idols? And like my plan the whole time was to tell him, no, I have one idol and I tricked them. That way we can find it. But like, I could just feel the greed take over. And it's like, it's kind of scary and sinister to think about. And I remember thinking, holy shit, Davey thinks I have two idols. Like I can get away with this and find the idol for myself and I'll have two idols. It was like the little troll looking guy at the Lord of the Rings or whatever. I was like, oh my God, idols. I was like, yes, I need another idol.
Gollum?
Yeah. I was like, Gollum. I was like, yes, the idol. And so I was like, yeah, I have two idols. And he was like, oh man, that's cool. And like, we fought, high fived or whatever. And so, yeah, I lied to him because I felt like I got away with it. But that wasn't my intention at the beginning. And that's where it went wrong because I had everybody fooled but Davey. And that serves me right.
Then he's saying, okay, that we have to vote out Nick. He takes you on that reward, and he tells Carol while you walk away that, okay, we're going to vote out Nick in this round. And then ultimately, things get really complicated here, but it looks like that there's a lot of talk about who it's going to be. You want to vote out Allison, it seems like, until Mike pushes you to vote out Christian. Is that right?
Let me tell you, I got so hung up on Allison. I don't know why. I can't tell you why. But I think in my mind, it was like, it was supposed to be Allison instead of Carl. And so Allison just kept sticking around and hanging around. Like, I was like, no, it's got to be Allison.
You have to fix the timeline?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, that was another huge mistake I made. I couldn't get my head off of Allison. What I should have done is try to work with her instead of just trying to double down and work against her. But it was funny on the reward because Davey was like, can I get a margarita? And he was even like, let's get some shots of tequila. And the waiter there is like, no, you can't have shots. Like, you can have a drink, but not shots. And so I was like, no, man, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling alcohol. So I got I drank a Coke, a coffee, an orange soda, and then a Red Bull. And so I was like, man, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just want sugar or something. But I was drinking as much caffeine as I could so I could look for the idol all night because they were drinking alcohol. I was like, no, I'm finding the idol tonight. So I just had a bunch of caffeine. But I looked nonstop for that thing, but the way it was hidden, it must have been to where you couldn't really find it at nighttime, because Davey said it was just a real thin blue string, and like I think without daylight it was hard to find. So that's what I did during the reward. But when I got back, Mike sat me down because he was trying to tell me Christian. I was like, no, let's do Allison. Like, you know, I was like, we can always get Christian. Everybody is always on board to get Christian. Let's do Allison, because I was obsessed with getting her out for some reason, because the Carl thing and everything. So finally he sits me down and he's like, no, look, like people are saying your name. And I was like, what, really? Because I hadn't heard my name since day two or day one. He was like, yes, Christian come to me. And Christian told Mike about Davey and Kara talking about voting me out. And so my first reaction was like, well, holy shit, like, let's get out Davey or whatever. And that's what they showed on camera, but I didn't really mean that. It was just kind of like an instantaneous reaction or whatever. And so I tried to think about it for a minute, and I was like, this has got to be about the idols. He must think I have two idols. So I went to him in the shelter, and I came clean to him. I was like, dude, this was my plan, and this is where I messed up. I lied to you, and I haven't lied to you except for about voting out Jessica, which that was like so early, like whatever, you know, it was kind of water in the bridge at this point. And so I came clean to him, and that's when he was like, man, like, I'm so glad you did that. Like, from now on, let's trust each other 100%. And, you know, you don't have to lie to me. Like, we're together. But what he told me was, like, I'll play my idol tonight and you play your idol, and we'll start off on a clean slate, no more idols. And so that kind of got in my head too. I didn't know he had to play his idol that night. So, but that kind of that kind of got in my head too. But, so as far as the vote goes, like, I went to Christian and I said, Christian, have you heard my name today? Like, are people saying my name? And he was like, you know what, Nick? No, I haven't. Like, let me do some digging. And he was like so condescending, you know? And like, I know people thought I was probably dumb out there, but I knew, like, I already had the information. I knew my name was getting thrown around. And so I was like, all right, well, I'll come to you later on in the day or whatever. And so I went to him before tribal council again a second time. I was like, dude, did you hear anything about me? And at this point, we already had the plan together. Like, I teamed up with the Goliaths to where we would have 3 votes Christian and 2 votes Allison. Or, no, me and the Goliaths would have 3 votes Christian, 2 votes Davey. But Christian and Davey were voting Allison. So it was basically like a 2-2-2, and I was the swing. And Davey was going to play his idol. And so, you know, I was really trying to think of a reason not to get rid of Christian. And so I went to him again. I was like, man, did you hear my name at all today? And he was like, no, Nick, I didn't. And like, he just lied right to my face again. And so that's when I was thinking, like, you know what? Like, I've played with Christian this whole time, and I know he's a threat. And, you know, I really felt like I saved him from going home more than once, like at least 2 or 3 times. And so I was like, I can play with a threat that's telling me the truth and whatnot, but if there's a threat that's going to lie to me, like, they got to go. I don't care if it is Christian, where the Mason Dixon, whatever. Like, if somebody's going to lie to my face, like, I'm going to vote them out. And so, yeah, I had the votes lined up to vote Christian or Allison. And that's the point in the game where I try to think if I made a mistake or not. Maybe I should have voted Allison right there, because, I mean, after Christian's gone, the very next vote is Davey. But it's tough, man. I think looking back by voting out Christian, I probably did give the power to Mike. I probably handed it to him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, a part of my calculation was, well, Christian might be able to beat me in these immunities, and these other people probably can't. Of course, you never know for sure, and you don't know what the immune challenges are going to be. And so maybe that small part of the calculation is what ended up saving me when I win 3 in a row. But that is like the vote that I replay in my head over and over. And I think, like, why didn't Christian just tell me the truth? And I could have wrote down Allison quick, and the finale would have been 3 Davies and 3 Goliaths.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he would have had to sell out Davey there, and I think that he felt like that, you know, in talking to him, he felt like that Davey was his best shot to go to the end with at that point. So I don't know. I don't know what other votes he thought that he had, and he felt like that maybe he might have lost Davey, to tell you the truth, and maybe to tell you the lie, he could have still gotten away with it. But he also said that he hit a wall at that point, and he said that he did not feel like himself when you guys were at that point in the game.
I could see that. Normally he would have just told me the truth because we told each other everything, but when you get down to such small numbers and so deep in the game, so many days without food and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to make the right decision. So, yeah, I wish you would have just told me. If you told me, I think I probably would have wrote down Allison. But it was a tough call.
And it worked out good for you.
Yeah, like that's what I fall back on is like, well, ultimately it worked out. I won, so whatever. But at the same time, like I try to think, Well, what if I didn't win? Would that have been my mistake? You know? So it's tough. But that is like the toughest spot of the game for me. And yeah. Who knows? Maybe either way I win. But still, the fact of the matter is, like, I can't stress enough, like, with the Final Four fire making, if Christian don't go home there, there's only two more chances. And so, like, okay, so if Christian's in the Final Six, then there's, like, Christian, me, Mike, Davey. I mean, that's four people that can win, and then there's only three spots at the end, yeah. And only two tribal councils for people to go home. So it's like the game goes faster now. Like, if you're not voting people out early that can win, I think you're really making a mistake.
Now, did Mike know about Davey's idol? Did he know that Davey had an idol? Had you told him that?
Mike told me that. So I think Christian told
Mike. Mike told you about.
Wait, let me try to explain it real quickly. The show shows me talking to Davey in the shelter and then me talking to Mike on the beach. And in actuality, that happened in reverse timing. So Mike talked to me on the beach and then I went to Davey in the shelter. And then it even shows Mike like, well, I was talking to Nick, but now he's buddying up with Christian, so I don't know what's going on. And that's why, because Mike talked to me first and then I talked to Davey. So Mike actually told me about my name being out there and that Davey found an idol. And Mike even told me that Davey has an advantage or something that supposedly he can only play at this tribal council. So before I went to Davey, I got all my information from Mike, and then Davey went and like told me the truth about a lot of stuff.
So we're at the Final Six now. Christian is gone. You were going to go on this immunity run here, winning the last three immunity challenges. Nick, were you holding back prior to this point?
Absolutely.
Interesting. And that was intentionally that I'm holding back, and then I will then, you know, once we get towards the last couple, I'm going to turn on the afterburners.
Yes. So, like, yeah. I don't want to necessarily go through challenge by challenge. Well, just quickly, the first one out.
No, that's fine. I don't think we have time for that.
Okay.
Okay. You end up getting immune here at six, and you end up going with Mike and Angelina on a reward. And in addition to the reward, Angelina reveals to you she has the location of the idol that's been rehidden and breaks out this ladder and needs you to help her find the immunity idol. What was that like in the real time?
That was hilarious. Because we were kind of like, okay, good, you found it. Like, now we know we can find it later or whatever. We was like, yeah, let's drink wine and eat and, you know, have fun. And Angelina's like, no, we got to get it now while we're in private and stuff. I was like, oh my gosh. So, yeah, she found the ladder and then... Yeah, she was like going to these places that like you really don't need a ladder to get to. I was like, I don't think the idol's there. And so then Mike found the clue again in hilarious fashion, and we were basically like, yeah, the idol's right there. Like you see that little thing, the little hole or whatever, like that's gotta be it.
Did the Gollum voice tell you that maybe you might be able to get the idol without Angelina knowing that you had it?
No, not this time. This time I was really just going to like climb up there and grab it and give it to her. But she was like, wait, can I do it? I was like, yeah, sure. I don't care. And she's like, okay, make sure you hold it steady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So at this tribal council, this is when Mike and Angelina are going to secretly work with Allison and Kara, and they're going to blindside you and Davey here. And Mike says at this tribal council, you know, 95% of the time, you and he are telling each other the truth, but this is in the 5%.
Yeah, this point. I feel like I got him pretty good with the John blindside, and this was like payback. But, I mean, this was what opened up my eyes to how good of a game he was playing, though. So, I mean, I give him credit for sure.
Yes. So, I mean, it was good to get Davey out of the game here at this point, and, you know, a really good move on his part. Do you feel like that this was a blessing in disguise in that? Do you feel like that if you got to the end with Davey, do you feel like, is it possible that Davey could have won?
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. That would be tough. I feel like I could win against almost anybody that made the merge. But, yeah, I mean, as you said, a blessing in disguise, I think it was certainly that. Because I wasn't going to vote out Davey. I love Davey. Yeah. But the fact that he wasn't in the final three with me, I think that was good. And not only that, the fact that he was on the jury without me putting him there, I think helped me a lot. Because he was my biggest cheerleader on there, no doubt.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how it would break down, but if it works out where it's like, say, Mike and Kara in the final three with you and Davey, now all of a sudden you guys are splitting votes.
Yeah.
And, you know, now it might only take like 4 votes for a Goliath to win the game now.
Well, from early on in the merge, I thought if I make the final three, I either want it to be 3 Davids or me being the only David because of that. So, yeah, once there was only 2 Davids left, I mean, the fact that the other David was Davey, I was like, you know, I wasn't going to turn on Davey no matter what. But it was certainly a blessing in disguise, like you said, because I knew at that point it would be better to have 1 David in the final three if I'm that David than to have 2.
So after Davey ends up going out, then you guys are at the final 5, and Angelina has this idea of that she wants to pull off this fake idol scam with Allison. Were you on board to do this in any way?
I mean, I don't know, not really. I mean, it was just like, I don't know. I just kind of felt like it was like her idol. She could do whatever she wants with it, I guess.
Because that when you talk about the jacket thing, I mean, this is like a redux. This is the same exact thing where it's like, hey, Nick and Mike, hey, here's this scam I'm gonna pull off, and you know, I want you guys to be in on it.
It's very similar to that. It's like, yeah, so all right, whatever. Like, I'm all for explosive stuff at tribal council, so yeah, sure, whatever. Go for it. The execution just turned out so sinister and like awful that it really bit her in the butt.
That was something that it ended up being a negative with the jury?
Absolutely. I mean, like when does a fake idol play on someone else ever really go over well? Like even when Randy did it, and like people didn't like him, everybody felt bad for him. And like Allison was like this girl that just happened to keep squeaking by tribal council, and like she hadn't had food in 2 weeks, and she caught herself a bag of bones. Like she was just like a bag of bones, just sitting around waiting to be voted out. You know, just like waiting to be voted out, I should say. And then like Angelina comes in and you know, plants a fake idol on her. it was just too much, I think.
And you and I talked about this in your exit interview the day after the finale, but Kara comes to you and says, hey, I got a plan. You know, if Angelina is going to play this idol on herself, we could vote out Mike. And you were on board to do that.
Yeah. So in reality, Allison came to me first because I went on this whole spiel the tribal four, like, well, I have immunity. So if you want to make a big move, you need to come with me because, you know, I'm the one that can't get voted out and I'll make a big move or whatever. So at Final Five, she was like, well, all right, you got immunity, so I'm coming to you. And she's like, what about voting out Mike? And I was like, all right, I'll do it because, you know, he just blindsided me. And it had opened my eyes up a lot to what he had been doing the whole game. And so, yeah, I was on board. And then I went to Kara, and Kara basically said no, that she thought Allison was a jury threat. And I mean, I guess she thought Mike was too, but that she would just rather stick with Mike instead of Allison. So it didn't really go anywhere. Mm-hmm.
That's still crazy to me.
Yeah. Because it really, on the show, I think it looks opposite.
I just feel like that I can't get over that she doesn't pull the trigger on that.
I know. And I really would have if she would have. But don't tell Mike that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
The next time I talk to him,
I promise I won't bring it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then Allison goes out here, and then we get to the final four. You are going to go on to win the immunity, and then you are going to pick Angelina and send Mike and Kara into the fire making. Was that a difficult choice for you at all, that it was going to be Angelina, or that was something you got to very quickly?
That wasn't really difficult. Mm-hmm. It's funny because talking to the jury after the fact, I think they thought Kara was the wise choice and that I should pick Kara, and then Angelina could beat Mike at the fire. And then I would be at the end with Kara and Angelina. And that would be like what shows me having the most savvy perception and whatnot. But it is so amazing how little of the jury perception you can really see in the game. Like, I thought Kara would be a jury threat. I really did. And so I just figured, well, I don't want to sit next to Mike and Kara. So I took Angelina.
Kara and Mike in the fire making, what did it go on for a while, or was it pretty much as we saw on the show?
I mean, I really think that must have been a record. Like, Mike made fire in like 5 minutes. It was so quick. And after I got home, my dad was like, yeah, Josh told me that Mike took lessons in Hawaii about survival and how to make fire and stuff. I was like, man, I wish you had told me that before, because you could tell.
Yeah.
But then my dad was like, no, Josh didn't tell me that until after they had already, done the family visit and stuff. So I was like, thank God. And I was like, Dad, you have no idea how important that is. But he really made it in like 5 minutes. I'm not joking.
So then you make it to the final tribal council. You have these three immunity wins in a row at your back here. I mean, what is that like in terms of like the prep that you're doing to get ready for day 39? Do you feel like you have a pretty good sense of, what everybody's going to ask and what you're going to say?
Yeah. I mean, well, I'm a lawyer, so I'm used to like preparing arguments and things like that. I really, like, after Davey went home, I thought that as long as I made it to the end, I would win. I felt like I played the best game out of the final five. It was just a matter of like who I would go with. And I think Mike was the biggest jury threat out of the final five. So I think I wasn't like too worried about the final tribal, just because like I already have those skills. And then, it's pretty hard to prepare for now. You kind of just got to be ready to talk about anything and everything that you think might come up. Because, I mean, like back in the days when Todd gave like the stellar performance or whatever, I feel like he kind of thought about each person and what they might ask. And in that way, you can kind of prepare for it like a final exam. Like, well, on this question, I'm going to give these answers because I know this person will answer this. But now, I mean, it's just like a nonstop conversation where Christian can ask me 10 questions instead of one. And Alec didn't ask a single question. He just said that he wanted to observe and make his decision that way. So it's really kind of hard to prepare for. I think I just kind of ran through what all had happened, what were my strong points and my weaknesses. And, I tried to admit to my mistakes. I feel even now, even though I won, I feel like I can admit to the mistakes I made. And like final seven, should I vote Allison or Christian, or just different things along the way. And I think that people respect that I'm not going to claim I played a perfect game.
Do you have any takeaways in terms of like anything you should have done differently during the final tribal council, now that you've been through it and seen it play out on TV?
Well, one question they asked was like, do I have any regrets? And I couldn't think of anything. And maybe that come off as like arrogant, but which of course I have regrets now that I've had time to think of it. But, basically I thought when they asked, do I have any regrets, I talked about me playing the idol. And basically, I had a really long answer about, like, well, I don't regret that because I would rather play it and not need it than go home with it in my pocket. And so then Allison's like, oh, so you don't have any regrets? And, like, maybe I should have had an answer ready for that. But Davey,
that's a tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough one because you got to think, like, the whole day I was preparing, all right, I got to talk about what I did good. And then people ask me, well, what do you regret? And, of course, I have regrets now, but Davey asked me what made me a Goliath. I thought that that was really nice of him. It, like, teed me up.
And you had that David versus Goliath Bible story ready to go.
Yeah, yeah. I've had that since day one. Let me tell you, when you go, you know, when you have your confessionals, you have plenty of metaphors ready to go. Because they last like an hour, and then they might air like 30 seconds, you know.
Yeah, and then what's the atmosphere after the, you know, that's okay. Everybody votes. All right, we'll see you back in Los Angeles. And then is it sort of everybody's like, you know, pretty happy, or is it tense?
Yeah, you remember that show on MTV, Punked, Ashton Kutcher?
I feel like
I just got punked because it's like. You go through this traumatic experience for 39 days and like everything is so serious and like it's your own little world, just like your little tribe, like cameramen, producers, like they don't give an expression. Like if you make a joke, nobody laughs. If something's sad, nobody cries. Like you're just like in this little, like that Jim Carrey movie world, like where like, just,
right. Truman Show.
Yeah. Like it's all eyes are on you, but like there's no reactions or anything. And then it's like, yeah, when it's over, it's just like, oh, you just got punked. And like, yeah, like the jury, like our jury was amazing. Like I have, you know, at the time I had no idea if they were rooting for me or against me or if they liked me or what. Like they were tough on all three of us. Like they really were. And then like after that, like they're coming up to me and hugging me. I'm like, what are you hugging me for? Like you hate me, you know? And then people will be like, dude, you're hilarious. I'll be like, what are you talking about? Nobody's laughed at me in months. So yeah, it was a really crazy experience to go through. And Jeff came up and gave me a hug. And I feel like I missed out on my Jeff hug because I was so out of it. I didn't realize what was going on.
So you guys get done filming what? And then it's like, was that like April of this year, right?
No, it was like the first week of May. It was probably like May 7th.
First week of May. Okay. So, and then what's it like waiting for the show to come on?
Waiting for the show is pretty tough. I kind of figured I'd won after it happened. And then about a week later, I was pretty sure I'd won. So then it was kind of just waiting around and then coming to terms with what all happened and preparing myself.
What happens? People told you that they cast – I won't ask you to name names, but yeah, people told you that they voted for you?
I mean, I think they were pretty good at keeping it secret, but I would just like run through the numbers in my head and like the more and more I replayed the final tribal and like what people said during the final tribal and this and that, like I basically figured out, like, I was pretty sure I had 5 votes. And then like 2 weeks after the, after we got home, there was the Ghost Island thing. So I knew it wasn't a tie because if it's a tie, they read on the spot. So, like after the Ghost Island finale, I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm like 100% sure I won. And so then it's just kind of like waiting around for the show to air and thinking about what they might show and coming to terms with different things. And like, since I won, I thought they would probably show me talking about my mom. So like I talked to my family about that and just like mentally and emotionally prepare myself for everything. And then it came and, you know, I just tried to enjoy every second out of it I could.
And then what's this like, Nick, to go from you're a guy, you watch Survivor, you see Survivor Gabon, you get really into it, you're listening to podcasts, you're making a tape, you get on the show, you said you had 2 dreams in life, to be a lawyer and then to be on Survivor, but then you go and you win the show.
Yeah.
how do you even wrap your head around that?
I'm still working on it, I think. I really feel like it was 2 different experiences, like playing the game and then the show airing. And so like playing the game was like the most unbelievable thing in the world. Like as a fan, going out there and then everything going right and like never really being in trouble. I mean, it was just amazing. And then like I felt like I won there. Well, then you come home and the show airs and it's like a completely different experience where you're open to criticism. Like, you know, it's almost more like you're a celebrity than just a fan living his dream. So that like the TV part was harder for me for sure. And then it's like, then you're the winner all of a sudden. And so like, I feel like actually winning the game is almost more attached to the TV part. And so I don't know. I think I'm still trying to process it. And I mean, like I would play Survivor anytime. Like I love it so much. But then like I feel like the TV part and like Twitter, which I don't even look at, and all that different stuff, like really takes away from the experience. And yeah, so I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out how winning it is. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, long story short, it's amazing. Like it's freaking awesome. Like you know, the people I look up to, you know, like Todd, JT, like Jeremy, like all these amazing winners, like Kim Spradlin, like I'm a part of their club, you know, and I didn't get a single vote against me the whole time. So yeah, I feel like I played a great game. I earned the win. I deserve it. And yeah, I mean, that's cool, but still, I think if you ask me in a month, I'll have a very different answer and I'll be like, yes, like I love it. But right now it's just like, man, it has been a wild ride.
Are you going to be able to go and watch the next season of Survivor again like a normal person?
Yeah, I think I can watch it. I might not. I'm sorry, Rob. I might not listen to you next season. I'm very sorry.
Why? What did I do?
Nothing against you. It's just like.
You're talking to Mike?
Yeah, Mike. Yeah. I'm siding with Mike on this one. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, let me ask you this question, if I may indulge myself. So do you feel like in terms of, okay, you're somebody, you listened to the podcast, that you went out there, you played, and then had the experience of now being somebody who's talked about on the podcast. Do you feel like that we have any ability to be able to comprehend what's happening out there based on what we're seeing in sort of the 42 minutes and secret scenes and Ponderosa videos that we get?
Oh, yes. I think so, for sure. No, it's nothing against you or podcasting in general. I think I might just need a slight break. Like, I'm definitely going to watch it.
Okay.
And I'll probably, I mean, this is 2 months away. I'll probably listen to you too. But, like, I think at least right now I just need, like, a small break because it's so much, you know? But who knows? I might even end up listening to you too. But for sure, like, I don't, like you said, I'm such a huge fan. I don't see myself, I don't think I'm going to take a season off away from the show. Like, I'm not going to abandon the show or anything. But maybe just, like, focus on something else for one season and not be so involved. You know what I mean? Like,
Big Brother. Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe. Oh, no. I will listen to you for Celebrity Big Brother. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
You and Taryn. Right. I listen to Taryn every day. So, and Brent. Brent's a fellow Kentuckian. Shout out to Brent.
So he's a fan. He's a fan. All right. Nick, do you have a hashtag that you want to give at the end of this interview?
I don't know. What do we say?
Do you have any alliance nicknames? That this was the question people wanted to. Could you have given alliance nicknames for any of the podcast co-hosts?
Oh man, I feel like I should nickname me and Brent because he's from Kentucky and he's. I really enjoy listening to him.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say if I have a favorite. You know what are they called? The Big Brother.
The LFC.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say if I have a favorite LFC. But okay. Oh my God! Do you remember when? Do you remember when that guy James Maslow? He's had all these alliance names that were terrible. Maybe I wonder if
Brent, he was your hero.
Yeah, he was my hero. He was like Team D's nuts. I wonder if Brent would be hashtag Team Rad Sauce with me.
Team Red.
So. That was an alliance name James recommended.
I have to go back into the soundboard for the Big Brother stuff. Okay.
All right.
Nick, do you have what about for us after we've had this long conversation? Do we have an alliance name?
Well, I don't know. That's weird because you're always like my superior. I listen to you every week. Now that we can be equals and
I think that you know we check the credentials now. I think that you outrank me.
Hey,
it's not even a contest.
Oh my gosh! Do you remember I said at the beginning? I told everybody I just want to raise hell.
Yes.
Can we be the hashtag bell raisers?
Bell raisers. Okay.
Is that stupid?
All right. There you go. It's an honor, Nick. It's an honor, Nick, to get the official name. I mean, you have to be like the specialist. He's got these all like if you go somewhere and he's there, he's like, you are the Griffin. You know, he's got them all like ready to go. So you got to, you know, if you go to one of these events, Nick, you got to like come in with like, you know, 50 alliance names ready to go.
I know. I'm no specialist, that's for sure. He has big shoes to fill. Well, no.
Yes. All right. Nick Wilson, great job on the season. Very fun to catch up with you here today. Anything else you want to say while you're here?
I don't think so. I was kind of making fun of Christian for going 3.5 hours, so I think I have no room to talk now. It's probably been about 3 hours.
Yeah,
for us.
You're on his heels. You're on his heels here.
Sorry, Christian. I love you more than anything in all this right. world.
Oh, that's so. I mean, that is that. Are you being serious?
Yeah, I'm being serious. I love Christian.
Oh, because I got the sense that that maybe you guys were not on great terms from this interview today.
Well, Mike told me to be honest. Grizel told me I was sugarcoating things, so I had a couple glasses of wine. I wanted to be honest. I mean, we played with each other and against each other, and I mean, but no, I love Christian to death.
No, because I definitely when I talked to him, I didn't get that from him that you guys were on, you know, any sort of bad terms. I know he voted for Mike in the end, but you know, he definitely you know, I wasn't getting, you know, any animosity from him.
Did you get that from me?
I have to say a little bit.
But I should have listened to his interview.
But I'm happy to hear that's not the case.
No, it's not the case. I was just trying to explain how I felt in the game. There were times when I was frustrated or felt like underappreciated, I think. But I don't blame him. I mean, he is, you know, he's smart at the game. And he was, you know, trying different things. And I think that sometimes people try to play Survivor and they do different things when really just complete honesty and trust is the answer. And I think sometimes they try to tell too many different stories and tell one person this thing and somebody else another. And I think that sometimes that could be a mistake. But I hope I didn't come off as I have animosity against him because I didn't mean to. It's just like he's a big part of my story, so I want to talk about him honestly and tell. And I mean, ultimately, I ended up voting him out, so I mean, I have to explain why I did that, you know? It's not because...
Yeah, no,
you know,
well, I appreciate you taking us along on the journey.
Yeah. Sorry, Christian.
All right. Well, Nick, thank you so much for being, you know, so genuine about everything along the way and taking us along for the entire ride of your Survivor adventure.
Yeah. If I was somebody else, I would say, you know what you did.
All right. Nick Wilson, thank you so much. Okay.
Bye, Rob.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Nick Wilson, Survivor 37 winner here on Robinson Podcast. Thanks again to Nick for being so generous with his time to go through everything from his game, his 39-day experience, and congrats again on the win, Nick Wilson. What a great way to start off the new year here on Robinson Podcast. We are going to have a lot more coming up this week as we're going to have our news AF back, more Robin Akiva Need a Podcast later on this week. Coming in January, we'll have more interviews with the Survivor David versus Goliath cast, plus some other fun off-season surprises as we begin our march towards Celebrity Big Brother first here later this month, and eventually Survivor 38 coming as well, and we'll have some preseason content for Survivor 38 coming in these next couple of weeks. So hope you're locked in here. robinsonwebsite.com/iTunes. Subscribe to the podcast. Also, thanks so much to our patrons of Robinson Podcast, who at this point are 5 years strong for the Rob Has a Podcast patron program. Lots of success stories for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. If you want to find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron of Rob Has a Podcast, everything we've got going on in our Rob Has a Podcast patron community, go ahead and check out our Patreon page at robhasawebsite.com/ patron. Thanks again to the patrons as we begin our month-long celebration of 5 years of the Robinson Podcast Patreon program. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Special thanks to our friends over at TrueCar for sponsoring this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. Every car comes with its share of stories, that ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after that big promotion, or the mileage you saved when you rode your bike all summer. Now, while you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with TrueCar, you can now at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up, then answer a few questions, navigation and moonroof, watch as they bump up your value, high mileage. You knew it was going to cost you, but find out how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer not available in all areas.